all those funny things were told about you. As a result, we couldn't hold a meeting last week. And today we are forced to hold this meeting because we need to have a report for Parliament on the 26th of this month, which is a deadline. And unfortunately, if we didn't see today, that means we wouldn't be having a report for 26th, because most of us will be traveling abroad for climate change summit. Therefore, I think we should start with our meeting. I must also indicate that last week my office met with the Auditor General, delegation from the Auditor General's office, with regard with the report of the department, the annual report of the department, including the financial statements. And there are some issues that I think that we did not have a clear understanding of, but after that meeting, I'm sure that I'm very confident that I know what is happening in the department. And we must also indicate that as far as the report is concerned, I don't think that the department is doing very well. The department is not doing well at all, especially the water sector. Environment is trying their best, but the water sector is not doing well. But I'm not the one to say that the report is in front of you. So I'm sure that members did engage with the report of the Auditor General. Therefore, I will give to Ms. Ngele just to give us an opening remark. The then. Today I have a request from members of Parliament that we have to start with the financial statement. Okay. We have to start with the financial statement. By the time we come to financial statement, we are very tired. So I think the best thing is to start with the financial statement. And then
thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. Chairperson, I think it is prudent that I start by offering an apology for last week. Some diseases were sick, others had to go for an operation. Dr. Rachel had to go for an operation, and I saw him yesterday. And the CFO, we had booked that she was going to be out of the country, and the booking was made before the day we received the name from you. So it was just a coincidence that the diligence were not attacked during the, you know, for the period that you have requested to see. So I am apologizing for the inconvenience that you might have caused, because we are not attacked. And we will do our best to try to do that. We get ourselves organized to align with your own program of action. Today, Chairperson, also just the last Chairperson, I saw him yesterday in the city, and this is the mind of Dr. Richard Kondo. So, we have to come out of the
hospital.
Okay, that's fine, thank you. Chairperson, what we've done, we've got a huge delegation, we've got him. The chief director is finest, because he said that it's important for the manager is finest to come and listen and get a sense of the issues that you've raised today. We also brought in here people who are supporting DDG in terms of developing the strategy and ensuring that the former execution of the strategy. So we've got a big team. I would suggest that we don't introduce ourselves. But when we have to report, the president will start by introducing. We have arranged for the CFO to do the financial performance report, to give the financial performance report. I also want to acknowledge that we have taken serious note of the findings of the Auditor General, and I don't want to preempt your questions and the issues that will be presented by the CFO, but I would like to give you an assurance that we have really deliberated this matter, and for the past 3 weeks we've been really on top of it, trying to see how we get around it, and we are seriously concerned about the financial performance of the department. We are worried about top management, and the managers are worried. There is a general sense in the department that we have to deal with the issues, we have to address the issues. But I will sort of come after the process. Through you, can I hand over to the CFO to do this?
Can I also indicate that arising from the meetings that we had with the Office of the Auditor General, I invited them to be part of the committee, so that if there is something that we feel that we are not comfortable with from the department, and something that we did get a response from them in my office last week, then we can deal with those matters now. And one thing that I wouldn't agree with is now when I fight with people, I want to know with whom am I fighting. So I need that introduction. They need to introduce themselves to us.
I'm going to start. I'm Ms. Nabu Menegele, one of the members of the Acting Director
General. Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. I'm Trevor Balser, Chief Operations Officer for the department.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. I'm Lindu Lusenga, Deputy Director General, International Relations. Thank you.
Good morning, Chairperson and honorable members. My name is Mubele Bagalisa. I'm the acting Deputy Director General of Corporate Services.
Good morning, everyone. I'm Mohamed Masaya, Chief Financial Officer of Water Fund.
Honorable members, I'm Tanika Masa, DDG responsible for the comments.
Good morning, honorable members. I am Debram Chosin. I am here representing the branch policy and regulation.
My name is Chairperson and honorable members. I'm Kavisa Mfindago, who is Director of Supply Chain and Asset Management.
Good morning, honorable members. My name is Bihar Samuroi. I'm the Chief Director for Infrastructure Operations.
Good morning, honorable members. I am Mushito Mapana. I'm the Chief Director of Internal Audit.
Morning, honorable members. I'm Philip Weta, Chief Director of Finance, Main Account.
Morning, honorable members. Marco Scott, Head of Communications.
Morning, I'm Baba Lamanya Tanyaka, Policy Coordination.
Morning, honorable members. I'm Nova Catello, Strategic Support Policy and Regulation Branch.
Morning to all. I'm Rashmi Pillay with the Strategic Support in the Finance Branch.
Good morning. My name is
Nkubo
Zamparka, Strategic Support.
No, they were saying that one of delegations, Mr. Jerry Kuna, has collapsed his code. Then they've taken him to hospital. I was asking what is it that they did to him? Because he can't just collapse. Ah? Okay, what is this person?
Okay.
How is he now? He wants to go home? Let me then quickly ask members of parliament to introduce themselves. Starting with you, Chief.
From the ANC. I'm a chairman from ANC.
Thank you very much. I'm the chairperson of this committee. Thank you for you. Yeah, and then I need to welcome Honorable Kanye to this committee. I only see the list around that we have been deployed to this committee. And I'm sure Ms. Lovemore is still trying for this committee. This is one of the best committees in Parliament. You won't regret being part of this committee. When we do oversight, we do oversight. We don't have friends yet. We are members of parliament here. And we are not too much fussy about parties that we come from. Our mandate is just one, all of us from different parties. Yeah. All right, thank you very much then. And then we have, can I ask you, because otherwise, good morning, honorable members. My name is Kunai Maybach. I'm from the Auditor General's office. Thank you very much, and also the member of the ANC over there next to Mama Buza, who is a visiting member. Is he a visiting member? Don't worry, we'll adopt you. Next time you'll be full time here. Very seated. All right. Let me not waste more time. Let me give them to. Mr. Ayaya, take us through the finances of the department.
The presentation will be divided into two parts, or is already divided into two parts. I see members have engaged with it. They have highlighted where they can highlight, those who are sitting next to me. The two parts is what I want to elaborate first, to put a context to it before I go into the figures. I think it would be important with your permission, Chair, if I could give that particular context. The Department of Water Affairs, for members who may have served on other committees in their earlier life of their political career, is different in the sense that we get our funding streams from two sources, or the accounting office in charge of two. I'm giving them now the outline. The outline you see part A and part B. So I'm trying to explain why it's divided into two parts. I think that's what I'm trying to explain. So what you have as part A is that the section on the set of financial statements which are in your report, which deal with the voted funds. So that's what I will take you through. Then what is shown in this presentation as part B, it deals with the water trading entity, In some other cases, you will find that they will refer to it as a trading account, which I will, of course, engage with each other and elaborate more so that you put the numbers in context and you are able to provide the direction you where you can in terms of taking the process forward. Now, of course, the purpose of this presentation, as you're aware, Chair and members, honorable members, is to report to you the financial performance for the year ended 31st March in the high level, because the details are contained in the annual report. I would wonder, obviously, somewhere I will show you where there's an improvement, but I will also mention where there have not been improvements in relation to the previous financial year, and then to highlight some of the challenges underpinning some of the financial results. And obviously, there would be issues of how do we take some of the issues that come from the financial results forward. Now, for main account, which is the accounting model or the accounting process used there, honorable members. Now, for main accounts, our funding stream for the year under review was allocated under those particular programs, and we had a budget of 7.7 billion compared to 7 billion in the previous year. For program administration, the allocation was 847, and indeed that's what we spent. We spent close to that. And for program water resource management, we spent, 4 billion is what was allocated, but 4 billion is what was spent. We underspent by 1% of that particular program budget. And then the water services, we had a budget allocation of 2.6, and we spent 2.8, and we spent 2.6. So the slide that you have before you here, and in the left-hand corner, in the right-hand corner, you'll see it's on the main account. That is, at high level, what is contained in your appropriation statement in the annual report. Now, in overall, the department spent 98%, and of course, after understanding, about plus minus 190 million was had to be rolled over, to apply for the rollover, or to be surrendered to National Treasury where it had not been dispersed as that under debt. It's important, honorable members, to take note that in this case here of main account, we are talking about cash in, cash out. Irrespective of when the services had been delivered, what we are saying has been paid up, let's say 846, is actual money that has been paid out from the bank account as of that 1st of March. It is not, it does not represent services that may have been received and they have not been paid for. They will not be in this particular slide you have before you. Now, our budget also, after you have seen the program level, which of course has a number of the DDGs here in charge of those programs that I've alluded to, we then go to what you call the economic classification of the budget, of the money that you vote for by Parliament, which Parliament vote for out of the exchequer from the fiscus. We had a deficit budget after the year, after October last year, after the media assessment to October last year, we had a budget of 7.7 billion, and I've clearly indicated in overall we spent 7.5. And in this case here, the under expenditure that was shown was plus minus 187 as of 1st March before any adjustment went through on that particular, soon after that particular date. But that's what was the position before an adjustment or another call of another income having taken place. Now, the under expenditure that I'm referring to, or what I'll refer to as under disbursement, because we are talking of cash in and cash paid, paid out, that cash that was not paid out, it was to do with accelerated community infrastructure, which required the co-funding of some of the municipalities that were participating in Mpumalanga and Limpopo. And for that reason, obviously, we had to align ourselves to the municipal financial year, and therefore the progress in terms of us being able to disperse that particular amount was a bit sluggish, and that's why the money we had to ask National Treasury to allow us to roll it over, so we'll indicate later on. There was a water service grant from Opani Municipality, which is shown as part of the budget of water service program, was with the Hedri, which is of course allowed under the DORA. For them having failed to submit certain reports, closed reports, and therefore the money will still be spent, and we need to ask for the rollover, in that case, part of the earmarked funding. Then the usual story of the Dehoop Dam, the unspent funds, of course, on the social component of the downstream project, it was part of the contributing factors to that particular expenditure of plus minus 190 million that I've alluded to. Now, then this reconciliation, when you look at the expenditure we are talking about, I wish to report to the member, the slide you have before you now is to indicate to you, although we talk about not having dispersed 187 million or thereabout, we had invoices in the pipeline or which were on our desks as we close the financial year. Those are the ones I'm showing, our key suppliers and paid invoices from, for example, our money, our company that does the car hire and all that, we had invoices worth 20 million, and from our IT service provider, there were invoices which had not been unpaid as of the end of the financial year of 26, but which we were in possession of. At the same time, there were other invoices that were on the desk. So in total, as we talk, not having dispersed 187 million, we had invoices. Had we really been a perfect whereby invoices were with us on time, we should have offset that 109 against the 107, and therefore the undisbursed funds will not have been 187 as shown in the report to the end of the year. So, now what did we do? I think the honourable member, you may want to know that whenever there is such an expenditure, we don't just let the money to go, and we don't, because the commitment will be there, I've alluded to the invoices, for example. We then, what we do, we approach National Treasury to say, can we be allowed part of that money to continue being to form part of our budget for 2010 and 11, and that's what we did. Those requests were filed to National Treasury. The request for additional office accommodation, is the water allocation reform requirement. There were some other claims against the department of 4.1 million. So everything totaling up to 123, we had to request for additional funding to be made available to us, this particular money to be made available to us for us to spend in 2010-2011 instead of losing it completely. Was our request therefore accepted? The answer is partly yes, it was accepted. The water allocation reform request was honored, and we received a letter to that effect. I'm sure in the adjusted appropriation bill, you'll be able to see some of these numbers. That's why I'm referring to them at this stage. So in total, we were allowed to, as part of the money, I mean, over and above what was voted for in May, we should be expecting our appropriation that we need to account for in 2010-2011 to increase by this 79 million that has been rolled over from the previous financial year. Were there any environments in the year? I think that's another question. I want, as we compile our appropriation statement, this is the summary that I want to indicate to honorable members. There were shifting that we do within the department and within the laid down prescript. The shifting of money, especially in favor of Program 1, is what we undertook in order to cover certain expenditure, especially on the office accommodation, on IT, and other things that needed to be covered under Program 1, as shown there. So in total, there was a shift from other programs in favor of Program 1 in order to cater for those particular other invoices or other items that needed to be covered under Program 1, especially office accommodation and IT services that had not been paid for in the earlier years. Now, for the same year, by the way, when you talk of 7.7 billion, I want to draw the attention of the members that the fact that the out of that budget, we cannot use it in the way we want. It's used, of course, within, of course, depending on whether certain funding is earmarked or is not earmarked. And on this slide that we have here, for example, sanitation, schools and clinics, program, that those funds were part of our budget in that particular year. They were earmarked. There is regional bank infrastructure development of 16. It was also earmarked. The operating subsidy that deals with the transfer of some of the assets to local government and the rehabilitation thereof, it was also earmarked from part of our assets. Working for fire and working for water is also part of the earmarked funding, which means that those funds can only be used for purposes for which they have been allocated, and the accounting officer cannot shift it to another need should that need arise in the course of the year. So out of the 7.7 billion that we had as of end of October, as per the adjusted budget estimate, we are reporting to you that the 2.6, almost 2.7 billion was the earmarked portion of that particular budget. We do get also some donor money, and in this case, this slide is just to highlight to you that there was some donor money that comes in, and that money is the one that we use in the year under review. So this is much I'm going to put that, and this will be other points of clarity that you'll call on that. Now, the year again we are talking about, if you do your comparatives in your annual report, you may find that forestry appears somewhere, but with blank spaces for 2009 and 10, but with amounts in 2008 and 9. The reason for that is that during the year after the election, if you recall, after the election in April last calendar year, there was a decision that forestry should join agriculture and fisheries to form the Department of Agriculture, Fisheries and Forestry. Now, to that end, obviously, the parliament, again, during the adjusted budget process, you voted that the budget should be moved to agriculture, and that's exactly what happened. Therefore, the figure of 579 of that particular budget was shifted to agriculture, and it has been accounted for by the accounting officer of agriculture, and therefore does not form part of the annual report you have before you. Now, that is the story around the water, I mean, around the main account in terms of the financial highlights chair. I don't know whether the audit report is with you. I don't know whether you want me to say anything about the audit report. Given the outcome, then, whether you want me to discuss, because you have had the meeting already with the AG, I don't know what you want to do.
Continue, and how
we
see part B continue? Because
there's a lot of questions from the first presentation that we're going to ask you. So, in order for us not to waste an hour on those ones, let's continue and see so that when we ask questions,
that we
know that we are through with your
presentation.
Now, before I go to the financial
figures, I'm talking about main account. And those are funds you bought for from the exchequer. Those are directly taxpayers' money. Now, when we come to water trading, you'll see it's used there, water trading. By definition, in terms of the establishment of the trading accounts in the various in the administration of the department, this is where you record the expenditure associated with the rendering of water-related services. And also, the income that is associated with that, collected from the water users, you'll see the financial statements refer to revenue. That's the same account. Before I go to the figures, I think I need to highlight that particular point, honorable members. The costs of schedule, the rendering those particular services are also allocated there. Now, there is a need, of course, to have a clear separation. Although the accounting officer is one, that's the department, I mean the DG of the department, the Director General of the department, in terms of financial reporting, we have different accounting methodology that we use. It's not cash in, cash out, as what I've mentioned in the case of main account. So there is a revenue stream that is connected, and that's why we can talk of the statement of comprehensive income. This particular asset, this particular entity, it's not a legal entity. It's an entity for accounting purposes. It's not a legal entity in the sense that somebody can go and sue it in a court of law without having to sue the minister, because it has no legal existence. It's for management purposes and for financial reporting purposes. That's why we refer to it as an entity. Now, there are a number of similar accounts that operate in different departments. I think that's the point I would like to underscore before I go to our own specific case. You will find, for example, Cipro, previously, I'm sure the situation has changed by now, was an accounting entity. It was an accounting trading entity under the relevant department. The same would be talked to of the deeds office. It's a trading account because there are costs that are charged for those costs that are rendered. The deeds office, the deed registry would be a form of a trading account in the Department of Land. Now, having said that, the trading entity or the trading account that we are talking about is financials today. It derives its revenue from the water users registered to particular scheme. It has a history. The first time it was established by cabinet way back in 1983 under the old Exchequer Act. Now, having been established under that, of course, and with the PSMA having come into effect, whatever was considered to be a trading account in different, the administration of different departments became what we call a trading entity. So you'll find in the PSMA they will talk of public entities and they will also talk of trading entities. So the water trading account in the department is a form of a trading entity because of that particular history. The underlying driver of the revenue we are talking about, as I've indicated to you, that water users are linked to the schemes, and the schemes, that's where the assets are. The assets are not in the head office. The assets are in those particular schemes. So when we talk of those statements, as I run through them, I want you to have at the back of your mind, we are talking about an environment whereby the financial statements are prepared on the basis of accrual principles. What that means is that irrespective of whether a customer has paid us or not, we'll record a debt and record a revenue at the same time, and not necessarily when the cash is collected. The same as then the asset base, it's important also to have the assets of the department well documented, because those are the assets that enable us to deliver the services to the registered water users wherever they are abstracting water, as the case may be. So in terms of outline, those are the things that I will then go through. I will give you a brief highlight of the income statement. You have the detailed income statement or the comprehensive income statement in your annual report, and then I'll give you a few highlights from the statement of financial position, the changes in the net assets, and then of course I will make a few commentary notes on the cash flow position, and that's how I will proceed with it. Now, compared to the previous financial year, 2008 and 9, there were concerns, especially under the paragraph on emphasis of matter by AG then, about the vendor reconciliation, which were not done in good time. There were issues around losses at construction sites, for example. Those have not been picked up this particular time round. We were told, I think we were not charging interest on outstanding debt balances. I did that one in the year under review. In this case here, we have charged that. Deferred income, instead of just recording deferred income as one amount, we have split it between the current and non-current portion. And then, of course, in 2009 and 8, if you look at the comparative financial statement, you will find that there was an overdraft of plus minus 58 million, but in the current year, we did not end up with an overdraft. Those are the improvements that I would say were then over the 2008 and 9, what has been experienced. Now, on the statement of comprehensive income, you notice that there is a revenue. If you compare 2008 and 9 against 2009, of course, it's an increase of 34%, which I will explain on how it has come about. And the other income, in the statement of comprehensive income, there is also a change of 5%, a positive one. But the overall deficit, after taking into account the wear and tear, or what we call depreciation on the tangible assets, of course, declined by 16%. Now, the increase in the revenue that I'm talking about was partly attributable to the increase in the tariffs. The tariffs, obviously, we revise them every year. And also, at the same time, there were customers we did bill in the previous year who were then we were able to bill in the current year. We bill based on the registered water users. Now, there is also an increase in the other income compared to, I mean there is an increase in expenses. And if you look at the increase in expenses of 9%, that increase, there's an increase of 9%, is obviously associated with the cost of living adjustment, the increase in the employment cost, and that's what has led to the increase in of 9% in the operating expenditure, which obviously will also impact on the profitability of the particular entity that I'm referring to. Now, the increase in revenue and the increase in expenses, of course, when combined together, resulted in an overall increase of a decrease in the deficit of 16% in the current year, after we have combined a favorable increase in the revenue, but an adverse increase in the overall expenses. And therefore, the decrease in the expenditure in the deficit that is recorded in the statement of comprehensive income is attributable to that particular situation. So the mass improvement of that particular deficit, what we are saying here is that there's a mass improvement when you compare the deficit for the year as a percentage of the total revenue earned, because remember the deficit is after they were accounted for a non-cash flow item known as depreciation. We see there is an improvement from 94% in the previous year to 59% in the current year. Next slide. Now, taking out the effect of depreciation of almost 1.4 million, which is recorded in the statement of comprehensive income, you will find that the total income is, 102% of the total income that we have had in the year is consumed by the operating expenditure if we exclude the depreciation. And that has, of course, implication on the viability of the enterprise. In the current year now, it's now 93%. 93% of the total income is consumed by operating expenses. And this is in line with the fact that we need generally whatever we recover from the water users should be tied up with what our subsets cost us too, so that we don't run into deficits at any given time. So in 2008 and 9, that was an unfavorable situation whereby you find that we spent more than the income that has been recorded. The operating expenses were more than the income that has been recorded, and that should not have been the case. Now, when you come to the statement of financial position, that's where you have your list of assets, your list of infrastructure, your debtors, and et cetera. You will notice that there have been some changes in some of the cases. There are other current liabilities that went up by 70%. There are trade payables that went up by only 1%. And capital reserve decreased by 3% because of the deficit that I've talked about. And the assets, which of course changed also by 1%. Now, a point worth mentioning here, if you look at your annual report on page 220, you don't need to go to it right now, but on page 220, we have detailed out what we call refinements on our assets. There are certain adjustments that have gone against the financials of 2008 and 9, and these figures you have here of 2008 and 9 is after those particular adjustments have been taken into account in order to correct whatever we needed to correct for meaningful comparison between 2008 and 9 after the verification exercise of the bulk infrastructure. Now, the continuing refinement infrastructure asset values on the reported figures for 2008 and 9 prior were, of course, led in the restatement that I'm talking about, which is reported on the 220 of the annual report. Now, let me comment something about the infrastructure. In 2006, if not 5 and 6, the auditors expressed the opinion on the financial statements of the department, whereby the department did not have an asset register in that particular year. In fact, it was a disclaimer. Now, the department then embarked into a fully-fledged verification of all its infrastructure, because service delivery in this environment of water trading entity depended on knowing the condition of the infrastructure and also understanding who is using that particular infrastructure. Now, that exercise obviously led into an asset register in 2007 and 8, The auditors obviously were happy with the progress made on that particular, but there were technical refinements that needed to go through in terms of refining that asset register. And of course, the asset register, in the arriving at that particular opinion, the view was that technically, and from their technical person, and from our technical person, from the department side, there was a need for certain refinements to be done, especially with respect to useful life and the testing of the conditions for those particular assets. These are things that have been done in 2008 and 2009, but they have also been then been concluded in 2009 and 2010. So when I talk of the adjustment, those are the bulk of those adjustments are coming as a result of that particular process that was undertaken by the department to ensure that our bulk infrastructure is on our record and we know who is using it. So it has been a journey in that particular shape and form. Now, the trade and other receivables decreased by 11%. I wouldn't say that there is improvement on the revenue collection effort, but there is also some other data that were written off in the year review because it will be in the north. There are data write-offs that have taken place, and that's why you see there is some changes in terms of the data balance from 2 billion to 1.9 billion, that particular slight change. It's affected by those two factors. The cleanup, the attempt to clean up the bad debts, and the other one was to do with an attempt, obviously, to improve the collection effort by presenting more reliable invoices or more statements to the water users for them to pay those particular debts. Now, the net assets here refers to the difference between our liabilities on the balance sheet and the total assets. And this is the movement that has been recorded. What we are saying that as of the end of the year, we had a total balance of 62.9 billion in terms of our net assets that had been restated as of the end of that particular year. On this particular, that's where we combine the net valuation on assets and accumulated deficits that I've reported under the statement of financial performance. All of them are combined to see what is the impact on the net assets of this entity going forward. Now, the statement also shows the impact change, wherein the increase in depreciation as a result of the evaluation of infrastructure is now, of course, moved out of the statement of net assets. And again, obviously, there is also the revaluation element, which I've already commented on, which of course has changed, it decreased from 86 to 61 million following the refinement that I've talked about on the bulk water supply infrastructure, which has scattered all over the country. I'm sure the Chief Director of Operations can speak more about those ones, their condition and the other details later on if you have a question about them. Now, on the cash flow position here, because one thing we try to avoid as far as possible is to ensure that we don't run into bank overdraft, because this entity is not a legal entity in the way I've told you. It cannot borrow, borrowing the same way TCT or water boards do for us, and therefore that matching becomes critical. So if you look at the statement of the cash flow, you will see that the net cash flow at the end of the year was for that we tried as much as possible to stay within whatever was available. But as we do that, of course, it would mean that either we are deferring something. It's not necessarily that everything is running perfect. I think that's the point we need to say. We may be deferring something, like, for example, rehabilitation and other maintenance work. If the cash is not readily available, we will delay that in order to ensure that we match whatever expenditure we have against what we reasonably have available to avoid bank overdraft with the KMG account. So the cash flow position has improved by almost 41.6% the year on. The decrease in the deficit is a result of some of the efficiencies. Then we have also the decrease in the receivables, which are reflected through collection and the write-offs that I've told you about. And you'll also notice that there is an impact of those cash flow as a result of increase in the trade receivables and other payables. Now, going forward, since I've presented both on main account and water trading entity, there are certain things that, like, for example, which we have never done before, but going forward, now that we have more or less a staff complement that can run with things, we have monthly trial balance meetings which review the entire expenditure. They will review also the budget in order to see that the items are properly allocated. Of course, where there are vacancies, those ones we want to, going forward, to ensure that those particular vacancies are filled on a timely basis. Now, after every audit has been done, we usually compile an action plan, and the action plan obviously is to ensure that the events or matters that were reported in the previous financial year, by the auditors during the audit process, do not unnecessarily recur without us putting certain intervention measures in place. For example, I've alluded to the issue of how we did the verification exercise. The verification exercise of the bulk water infrastructure was as a result of the fact that the auditors failed to express opinion due to lack of the processes and other people that go with the management of water, and therefore an action plan was formulated for that purpose. In this case, again, an action plan has been formulated. Now, the problems which are reported, obviously, during the compilation of the financial statement, given our spread over our operations, is another area, obviously, where we want to see what were really the issues that may have led to another difficulties of on the reporting side of things. Now, the workshop, obviously, under the leadership of the top management to address certain governance and policy matters, given that the performance information will be audited and opinion will be expressed on under 2010-2011 are some of the workshops that we need so that we have a shared understanding of how the process will then be dealt with going forward. Regional visits by the head office staff to understand what the issues are on the ground, those particular interventions that we want to introduce, because they have not been evident in the previous financial years of the department. So far, previously, for example, the head of the region for corporate services, the head of the region for finance was one and the same person. We have tried to separate that. We want to entrench that with the help of regional heads in the region to ensure that the inputs into the financial information, the inputs into the audit findings are signed off by the relevant chief directors heading those particular clusters or heading those particular regions. Of course, the training of staff is another intervention. We want as far as possible to make sure that the relevant sitters indeed we use some of the resources they have without necessarily having to go back to the exchequer to rely on that money, and that's something that we are ready to move on in our own branches, depending on the skill profile each branch head will have. But for finance, obviously, we will be proceeding on that in terms of ensuring that on budget and reporting training is offered before end of December. Of course, briefing, and the briefing are taking the form of quarterly reports to the top management and thereafter to the minister on various aspects of the financial report is something that we want to ensure that it occurs both on water trading and on main account. Now, the water trading entity, there is, of course, a need for something that I would call here for now, due to lack of another term. I'm sure my colleagues will want to add on this. Something that I would call radical chairperson. Of course, somebody may ask, what would you want to say radical to be? We are talking of a water trading entity with a staff complement of plus minus 4,000 employees. That's not a small organization. Now, although it may have been taken in all along since 1983 as an account where you summarize your debits and credits, the drivers of that particular business are not about the debits and credits that are managed by the CFO and the team. Those particular, the drivers of that business are the assets that are in the various operational clusters, to do with the customer relations, for example, because water users are our customers. So a drastic kind of orientation would need to occur. For example, a case where by even before the year end, I should be able as a manager to meet with some of the water users just on the farm and discuss these. Those are some of the things that I'm saying that would come in as part of the turnaround interventions which are within the managerial control, because there could be other people which may not necessarily be within the control of the manager. Where we do not have internal capacity, we will try to get external technical expertise as we go through that particular journey that I'm talking about. Reassessment of the risks associated with this particular water trading, given the spread of the infrastructure itself, geographical spread around the country, is something that we may need to do in order to understand exactly how the water users are being served and in what condition they are being served, without necessarily having to react on some of the things that we have done. Because we now know where the infrastructure is, we have a register for it, and we can be able to go and, of course, investigate that infrastructure and see who is using it and in what condition or what other risks are associated with it. So at the end of it, of course, is not only sustaining the sound financial management processes and reporting processes, but also ensuring that we have kind of a ring-fenced and a sustainable entity that will be able to fulfill the mandate that it's required to fulfill on the behalf of the government in terms of development and maintenance of bulk water infrastructure for the country. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Ayaya. Did you want to say something?
Thank you very much, Honorable Members. Honorable Members, I just want to close up the CFO's presentation with just key issues that will help us and also assist us in moving forward. During the audit period, we met, I would say, more than 10 times. I was involved in discussion with the AG. Certain things became clear. And I can't expect you to ask the question. You are talking training of staff, you are talking skills development. If you look back, these issues have been in the annual report for the last 5 years. That is the question coming from you. But the key issues that came up from the auditor is that we do not have the skills to run the system now. There's a huge hole. There's a weak control environment, weak financial system. We are failing on revenue collection. We are unable to manage debt. The data environment is one thing, which means we don't have reliable information on water users across the country. Secondly, Chairperson, in my discussion with the DG, because when the auditors, I was meeting with the auditors, I started the process of engaging other DGs. I engaged accountants general. I engaged the DG of Treasury. One of the issues we also talked about, this account, the trading account, requires a different culture. It will operate when you have it under a business environment where you have a sense to optimize income generation, to maximize return on investment, also to look at efficiencies. So he said to me, no, but this account, it's going to be a struggle for Water Affairs to turn around this account in the government environment where you have a main account which is operating different from the trading account. So he really argued that even the culture, the environment required, the orientation required to run this, it's quite different. So it's going to be a huge task to turn it around, but we need to work together to turn it around. Separating myself sounding defensive. I have to add it to you. The scale of this account, it's quite huge. The value, you're talking here of an account of $2 million, trading account. The magnitude of the historical challenges, because we've got people who are extracting water, we can't trace them. In some cases, we're billing them wrongly. So even the regional staff was saying to me, they bill somebody for 11 million, a person says, I owe you 3 million. So there are problems in the, even the database on water users. That's why it's interesting. In the department, we have a project called verification and validation. However, the technical people also advance that. For us to complete this process, it's quite cumbersome. We have to comply with some provisions of the legislation in order to get to a point where we have, for the entire country, a clean water user database that we don't have currently. Chairperson, having said that to you, I then made a suggestion. I had discussions with the minister and the AG. We had several meetings. I then went to DBSA, because the minister said, we need to think about it. I went to CCTA to seek, you know, support in terms of getting, because we need to understand what are we dealing with. It's not going to help us to bring consultants in the department to help us with something that really we don't have an acute understanding of what it means and what it entails. Even the fact that we do have people in the department, but what came out during the audit? The financial statements were just, it was difficult to produce financial statements on time, and there was a struggle that one had to contend with in terms of the financial statements, the disagreement of what we were producing and what the AG was looking for. So there were really serious difficulties, and we really tried to work with the AG to get where we are, but it was a struggle. I'm admitting to you that for the trade, the main account, we are going to be able to deal with it internally and just make sure that the things that we are really saying take place as we have made the commitment. But Chairperson, I have to add this to you, that as water says alone, a trading account is a huge task. And we have to take a total different, if it goes to change, and we have to do things different, we really have to seek support outside the department. We are not going to be able to resolve it alone. That's why I've already engaged Accountant General, Treasury, DBSA, TCTA, so that we can begin to get a team of experts to reappraise the problem. Because we also think to ourselves, do we understand what are the problems, what we are trying to address, and are we using the right instruments to address the problem? So we need to understand what we should be addressing, and then begin to sort of to say we are going to address that. Also, there's a risk here where you can say once we are addressing a problem, if then you start to create other problems. So we are avoiding creating more problems for ourselves. So I'm admitting to you, and there's a general acceptance, you can ask everybody in the department, that the trading account, revenue collection, debt management is a strategic risk. And everybody accepts that. And we have acknowledged that we just need a different approach. So I'm putting this to you, Chairperson, just to say to you, I went to a point of investigating the type of competencies required. And one of the things that came up, we need to have people who've got the knowledge of debt recovery and billing system, revenue management, revenue enhancement strategies, budgeting and modeling, water sales management. And this requires a setup that has a dual system of a front office and a back office. And that cannot to divide this type of an intervention will require an accelerated effort on a sustained basis. Because even the improvement capacity, we've made improvements in terms of saying, for the first time in the department in 2008, we had an asset register, immovable and immovable. We separated the trading account from the main account. We could not, it's going to be a struggle to sustain that improvement because we don't have the skills. And fundamentally, without people, Chairperson, we will sit here every day and make appeals and try to apologize to you, but it's going to be difficult to turn things around without having the right skills in the department. I thank you.
Thank you, DG. Member of Parliament is open for questions, discussions, and whatever. I think to respond on what the DG has just said, they've been seated with this problem from 2004 up to now. I've been hearing the same thing.
And if they identify the problem, what are they doing about it? And I think, arising from what she says, the minister must have an account with this committee. We can't say the same thing for all these years. I went through the financial statement of this department since 2004 up to now. There's nothing better. Even the improvement that they're talking about, I didn't pick it up. Especially after I met with the Auditor General's office, it's even worse. You see? Because you can't blame capacity if you are expected to give in your books on the 31st of May. And then you gave them on the 31st of July. And even when you give them, you know, the 31st of July, everything is wrong. And you say that you have skilled people in the department. People who have skills in finances to deal with finances of the department. People are getting paid to do that. Even the financial state of last financial year, when they received that unqualified support, it was a favor. Because when I go through that thing, there is nothing better than it was just a favor from the Auditor General. So there is no improvement activity. I'm sorry to tell you that there is no improvement. As far as this year, we are supposed to have got disclaimer. That qualifies as something better that you receive, according to us when we went through those annual reports of yours. Writing off of funds, you don't have enough information. How long has this thing been within the department? You just get a figure which says that so much has been written off. You know, most of the things that has been given to ourselves, they say, look for yourself when you get a response for them. So it's so difficult to deal with Department of Water Affairs financial state. That's why I'm saying that an open member of parliament, the way you understand it, you ask it from them. But to me, as a chair of this committee, not being a new chair, but they have been chairing committees before, this is one of the worst committees that I've chaired in my life. I understand the challenges that you have of accounts that you can't deal with. But what did you do about it? Did you inform the executive? Is he aware of this? What is he doing to try and address those challenges? Because you can't sit here every day and address challenges that you can't come up with some sort of strategy on how to deal with those challenges. Member Mabuza, Honorable Morgan, Honorable Skosana, and Honorable Wang.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, tracking on the Auditor General report between 2004, 2005 to 2007, 2008. What you are raising is 100% correct. On financial statement, I just want to interpret that. Chairperson, matters of concern arising from the Auditor General's report, number one, note 26. From the financial statement, the Auditor General discovered that the department used the amount of 12.9 million as a regular expenditure in the financial statement. Ironically, the Department of Water Affairs claimed that it was not aware of any event that might require adjustment on the stated figures, Chairperson. Therefore, can the department account for the use of 12.9 million? That is what happened to this large amount of money, and who's specifically responsible for this irregular expenditure? The second and the last one, in note 27, from the financial statement, Chairperson, the water trading entity had used the amount of 6.9 million to pay for services rendered, movable asset projects, Chairperson, realignment of provincial roads and construction of asset roads, without quotations, without following tender procedures and proper internal approval processes. The department, Chairperson, should also account for the water trading entity finances projects and award tenders without proper approval being followed, and the department is claiming that it is inadequate funding. Thank you.
Honorable Morgan.
Thank you, Chairperson. And thank you for your comments. When you started, it's very difficult to know actually where to start, because there's some context to this particular audit here, and it needs to be put on the table. And that is, during this particular audit, the year in review, the Chief Director of Financial Management was suspended during the year. The DG was put on special leave as well. And there was an investigation, the AG report is out already. And, you know, of course, we must hold the officials to account, and we'll do that today, but I would like to associate myself with the view that, in fact, the minister should be here as well. Because, I mean, I can be somewhat sympathetic to the acting DG in this position. Thrust into the position in July last year, already 3 or 4 months into this particular financial year. And we know, of course, that there were, now we see apparently good reasons why these and other individuals were suspended. So the minister should indeed be here, because we can't, we can't talk to officials about the other suspended officials. It's not their job. It's at a political level now. So I do think we should call the minister before this committee to speak about those kinds of things. So, for example, and this is where it becomes complex about whether they can be asked this question. So it says here, the program has overspent, and I'm not talking about the WTO, but the general. Program administration overspent its allocated budget by 33 million rand on IT services. Now, I mean, the question is, we know that there are problems with IT contracts, because the Auditor General told us in his report that he did over and above this. And among other things, the Auditor General said that the 36-month contract has been extended to 49 months, and that the extension has the value of increasing the initial value of the contract by 587%. So who do we ask the question to? Acting DG or the Minister? I don't know. But yes, maybe if we can have a comment about whether in fact this overspend here is related to that. It's good that the income is in the WT is more than the expenses. But taking into account appreciation is the relevant thing to do, of course. So, I mean, there's only so much celebration we can have about that. Acting DG, I wrote down all your points here that you made. I mean, I am somewhat sympathetic to your position. But I concur with the chairperson's points about these aren't new issues at all. I mean, let's read them back to you. Do not have skills to run the WTE, you said. Failing to manage debt. Don't have reliable information on water users across the country. The scale of this account is quite huge. Problems with database on water use is difficult to produce financial statements. So, I mean, those are damning responses from a DG about a particular department. And normally an MP in the situation, chairperson, would say, well, what are you going to do to fix it? But I'm not sure you can fix it. I don't think you have any, skills in this department to fix it at all. So we're going to need, as a committee, very firm ideas on where these skills are coming from. And presumably they have to come from the outside. You said no consultants, but I mean, sometimes you're just going to have to throw your arms up and say we need technical skills. So I think you're going to have to tell us and present this department, this committee, with a plan on how you're going to turn the situation around. The reason, chairperson, why this department, this WTE, is so important is that the department has told us, and the acting DG has told us before, that there's a process underway which is really going to look at the readjusting of tariffs going forward. Now, if I was a water user, wherever, in rural Limpopo, let's say a big commercial farmer, and I'm looking at a WTE like this, where the DG has given me these 7 points about what's going on here, and you want to push my fees up by 50%, 100% in 2 years' time, I'll go, well, you guys can't manage your own finances and books. Why are you, am I being charged this money because I have to somehow subsidize the failings in this department? There's a credibility problem, chairperson, in the WT, and you can't even begin to embark on reforming tariffs unless you've sent all water users in South Africa the signal that the WT is working at all. And then the related to that, chairperson, is that there are liabilities there. I think if you could tell us, are people taking you to court on these figures? I mean, I presume that there is unreliable billing, which is happening. And as far as I know, it's happening to municipalities as well. So, a specific question. Can you give us the status of billing to municipalities? Are municipalities getting reliable bills every month? Because you've told us before that they're not. So how is that getting better? And then what is the scale of liability? You see, if I'm not mistaken, and you said this isn't, I mean, it's a trading account, it isn't a legal entity in itself. So when you sue for some wrong that may have been, you think has been committed against you as a water user, bills that you don't believe, for example, and you sue for correction of that, I mean, presumably you're suing the entire department. So a mess up in the WTE, Jeffers, and I think this is an important point, a mess up in the WTE has presumably effects on the broader department as well. And that is a very, very worrying thing in terms of managing risk in this particular department. So if you could, I could have your response to that as well. More and more people are going to find out that this is a badly run account. And in that context, you're very likely to get more challenges. Because if I was a guy saying, hey, now I'm going to take a chance now, I'm not sure about this. I'm not, you know, if my neighbor's not paying or he's getting an incorrect bill, you know, why don't I ever go challenging this in a court? The poor court will say, oh, we don't actually know what's going on in this account, because the AG clearly doesn't know what's going on in the account either. But there are very real chances that you can have increased liability. So you're placing the whole department at risk. I appreciate your comments on that. Thank you.
Honorable
Mr. Chairman,
I
thank you, Professor. Professor, let me start by commenting on the postponement of the meeting last week. Chairperson, to us, really, it was not correct for a meeting to be postponed at 11 hours because of problems that are within the department. This is a serious concern on our part as politicians. Secondly, Chairperson, in this department, systems are in place, structures are in place, which means we have got different heads of department here who are running this department. But when you look to issues that emanate from the auditor's report, really it's shocking. And when you take from the statement made by the acting DG, really, someone can feel that there is no department here. If we are unable to run finances, then which means we have got a problem. Because this department must run the finances in order to deliver. And if this department is unable to run the finances to deliver what is expected, then we have got a problem. The report of the CFO is always positive, Chairperson. But when comparing it to the report of the auditor, contrast. Now, Chairperson, I concur with you to say the minister must come and account in this portfolio committee. And Chairperson, I don't see any necessity for us to proceed debating this report. Hence, there are pending issues within the report. That needs the minister to come and clarify them. Chairperson, I can just ask a question and direct it to CFO and the acting DG. I want to know, Chairperson, if there are discrepancies in the department financially, who must report between the department and the auditor general? Because the true reflection of what is transpiring in this department, we got it to the auditor general. In our department, we get a very positive report. Who must report between the auditor general and the department to us
to account to us as portfolio committee who are representing the masses outside there? That's the question, Chairperson. And also I want to ask to both Chief Administrator, CFO and the DG, do you have irregular, fruitless and wasteful expenditure in this department, yes or no? And if yes, when are you going to report about that? Chairperson, my feeling is, let's call the minister to come and account here. We must not waste our time debating this thing, hence there are pending issues in this report. I have got a lot of questions, but I can't proceed because the report we got from the DG, really it shows that we don't have the finance reporting office. We don't have an office which is responsible and which is monitoring our finances. Something I'll just pause there. Maybe I will be answered those two questions, but I've got a lot of questions that I need to ask. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. When I arrived in this committee, what we raised or the auditor general raised is what is raised even today. And then they also tell us that they got the assessment of staff. I don't know if they say they still lack a capacity. What they were assessing, they just assessing and leave it there. Or this staff that they have been assessed doesn't have suitable skills to work in the sector. I think based on what the other members have said, lack of planning, buying things in a rush, you end up getting things like in Limpopo, whereby wrong things are bought because they don't have planning. If you don't have planning, it means you don't have the department. It means when the CFO collapsed, it means the entire department have collapsed. So I don't think we've got the department now. Those questions that I want to raise, I can't raise it now. It means the minister, as the political head, must come and account to us. The question that we are having, we'll ask her. Because we can't always sit around. When you're supposed to get something, you will hear it from the auditor general. Whilst we've got home bodies in all our departments that we are having. So I mean, Chairperson, I also having that view that the minister must come and account. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's due to the our colleague is the speaker. I think it's already showed to the chairperson this majority is needed for minister coming for report here. But anyway, it's the CFO and the SNPG already spent the time here today. I think it's I also send an other colleague. I hope a lot of questions must be asking from the annual report. But unfortunately, if you want to carry on for this one, I think it's a waste of our time. But I only want one question for the show to the chairperson. CFO is spending the time. They make this presentation here. I want to know, this inside or the figure, is all the same that is the annual report or not? It's the same. I can say he has the professional job. If he no show, like our other colleagues say, we spend a lot of money for the research department. You see, this a conversation of employee. We spend the 910 million. Then now, 18 CG say, unfortunately, we got a lot of problems. Without, if we don't have the AG, then this department haven't got any problem because the AG was the oversight for all the financial issues. So I think it's You see, say, I just say example for the list of presentation for the main account. Is the CFO show to us in the presentation for inside? But from the annual report, I see this inside is a different figure. If you, I want to show you for just very simply. You show us this, this one for the good and the service, 2000, I don't say the 2008 and 2009, I said 2010 and 2009. This expenditure, actual you expenditure, is 2095506. Now you show to us. But the problem inside is 2084431. I don't know which one, I must, the member must look into which one is right. Is this one is right? This annual report is right to the parliament. Then you don't present that this one is the wrong information for us, because now you just finished this one. Then this is the main account for this expenditure for the fourth quarter ending. You show to us in this your presentation. Then your interest and the rent on the land. You show us is 1133, but from your annual report is 6918. This shows the 5 minutes. I don't know which one is right for we can carry on for debate of all the issues inside. I can tell you there are a lot of issues from your figure. But I want to say to the 18 DG, because the chairperson already highlighted your comment. You say a lot of problem from the this auditor general, the auditor general with your financial committee. But if from the auditor AG is the report the inside, if you find from the inside, public finance management inside AG already indicates they want your performance report before the 2009. They already request. Unfortunately, you only delayed to the this year for the 3rd of June. 6 months delayed. Then how you can say the government spend a lot of money for the all of these staff, too many DG, DDG, SDN, director, everything here. 900 million we spend for the all the salary. Then now you say you got a problem here. You got the auditor committee inside. You got the auditor committee this report, all the put inside, everything. Now you tell us everything got a problem. So how we can carry on for debate? I think there is this one that chairperson, you must be taken over for this.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Now, being completely new to this department, I may ask a question or two that's already been asked. With all due respect, Madam Acting DG, acknowledgement of your problem is not a solution. Now, in the beginning, when we heard that there were so many people ill and had operations and somebody collapsed this morning, we kind of treated it as a joke. But as a psychologist, if I were working in a department like this, I would also be sick and collapse. And one can understand where the history of the illness is coming. Chairperson, you refer the DG refers to a turnaround strategy. However, the detail is lacking. I don't pick up anything tangible. You're saying that we must have skills, but you're not saying how you're going to acquire those skills. You're not saying I don't pick up what exactly the turnaround strategy is. I didn't pick up from the CFO whether the department has been treated and what exactly the losses are in terms of the non-compliance with the procurement process. I don't pick up any numbers in your presentation. The vacancy rate is very high, and having looked at the vacancy rate, the DDC says, well, we need IT, whether the 67% vacancy rate in terms of IT. What are you doing to address that? I think I concur with all my colleagues that we need the minister to come and tell us what exactly is the detail in the turnaround strategy.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I have my own question. Probably won't do that.
Thank you, sir. You know, sometimes when members of parliament ask questions, the officials tend to take that very much for granted. Why I'm saying that, Chair, if they were not, the very comments that are coming from the Auditor General are the very same issues that members of this committee have been raised to the department. So if really they took us serious then, those issues would not have been raised by the AG's office. They would have been able to rectify them when the members pick them up and able to raise and raise them with them. And it's very ironic when you are listening to the members speak in the manner they speak. It's very painful, I'm sure. To many, you know, members of the department. But I think you yourselves have actually pushed the members too far, that they are making the comments that they are making today, because these issues year in and year out were raised. We referred to the previous annual report even last year. Early this year we did the same thing. And you still come back now to tell us the same thing over and over again. For instance, the issue of I ask a simple question, you know, to say I'm coming to the issue of saying that you don't even know some of the indices that you have. I ask a question and I think some of you laugh when I ask, you are a department of water, how many dams do you have? How many dams are there in South Africa? I still to receive that answer today. I ask, how many dams? You are the Department of Water. You're supposed to know exactly the dams that are there. And Hoshima Tebe, I made example about a dam that we visited the Northwest. And we were shown a huge dam in the Northwest that it was said it was built during the Mango Petai. And they were saying that You know, that dam, the department was not aware of that dam. And I asked them, I'm not going to tell you the name of the dam. You are a department of water. I still have to get the answer on that question that I posed to this very same department. A huge dam in the Northwest. That was built by Mango. A huge dam. And you've got people that have got shortage of water. No, but I'm still waiting for the answer to date. Easy to say when you are here to say no. I will give. We will forward the answer, and the answer is still outstanding. Having said that, let me come to the report. I don't have a page here, unfortunately. They don't have pages. I don't know. It's on financial position, where you are actually giving us the total equity and liabilities. I think it would be important to actually separate, because they just given the total figure. That you know, the equity. The total equity and the total liability separately, instead of putting them, lump them in one figure. Unfortunately, that thing, I don't have a page yet, so you'll find it yourself. I found it myself also. On the issue of, again, I asked the department, because it was on the annual report. I think it was 2008 report on the asset register. I hear the CFO actually speaking about the asset register. I want to understand if now your asset register that you're talking about, is it a comprehensive asset register? Because if that asset register was comprehensive enough, you'd be able to answer my question in terms of how many gems you have. Because it's supposed to be part of that asset register. And for me, so I would want to get a question and answer in terms of whether your asset register is comprehensive, it actually covers, everything, so that I want and be able to understand
you know what is happening there. You are talking again, this page doesn't have a number on your cash flow position. You are talking about cash flow from investing activities. What are those? You know, sometimes I always say, you know, and you take that for granted when I say, you know, sometimes it's very good to use words that have got no meaning. What are those cash flow, you know, investing activities that I'm referring to here? And also financing activities, cash flow from financing activities. If you can just give me one or two examples, what are they? Then maybe one can be able to understand. Because sometimes you just use terms that means nothing. And it comes back to haunt you when you sit here. You know, English is very a nice language. But it can also mean absolutely nothing. And I think you can experience and exercise that today from what another says. That it can actually mean nothing.
The auditor does not agree with you. He says, yes, reported information not useful. It's exactly what you're saying. Honorable Matere?
Thank you, Chair. First, Chair, we must move from the premise that the department does not depend on an individual. The top management works as a team. So we cannot say this and that happened during the era of the suspended state. They were part of it, all of them. They must account to what happened. You spoke, Chair, of this audit committee. That we don't know what is happening in that committee. Because in this annual report, they said certain weaknesses which were identified previously were not addressed. Now, to me, this committee should be liaising with the Auditor General's office, maybe on a quarterly basis, to check as to whether they are still on track on whatever the department is doing. But now, this is the end of the year, and they are now saying certain weaknesses were not addressed. Now, by whom? And why? Is it a deliberate thing because of laziness? Or lack of capacity, or what? Can someone explain as to why this business were not addressed? And this is just like an audit. Secondly, they said no changes in accounting policies were made. Why? Having performed this money, why don't you come up with some changes to make sure that we improve? Is it lack of capacity or laziness too? One has to explain this. Thirdly, the CFO says they shifted funds from one program to another. Reasons being written off, IT tender accommodation. I wonder whether there is no planning in the department. Did they not know that they would need accommodation and budget for it? Were they not aware that this IT tender is coming to an end in such and such a month and plan for it for the second coming financial year? This is written off. We are not told as to how long did it take for us of this thing. And what processes were followed before these debts were written off. Is it maybe someone did not pay and will just pick up a phone to say, hey, we're still waiting for a payment, and if he doesn't pay, you write it off. Hold on. Someone needs to explain to us as to how long does it take before the arrival of certain debts. And specifically about the one that happened in the last financial year. Because I'm afraid you might find that it's something that happened
within 3 months and write it off. So obviously one would think that you write it off and you go on that other card and collect it for yourself. Doesn't make me think of that. So one has to explain to us as to how long did it take and why. And the process is that way for you. Thank you, sir.
The last one will be Honorable Bengo. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson, and apologies for being late. And thanks to the acting DC on it. Yes, we have had apologies from the department several times. As she reported today that there are many challenges within the department, but my worry is on their recommendations mentioned in the acting DC's report. And why does it take time to implement those recommendations? And what we have, Chairperson, has been. And what we need to get from the department for now is that there is a water crisis in most of the areas in the, of the country. And we are here to listen to what has been done for the people of this country to have access to clean water. But now it is getting wet. That therefore, as many as people representative, we are having concerns with reports. We don't know exactly what we are going to say to the people because most of the people now, they don't have water to drink. And I really concur with the other members that as a committee, we need the minister to appear before the committee to answer our concerns around this another report. Thank you.
Thank you very much. If we can go through this annual report since 2004 up to now, you'll agree with us that if you are a member of parliament, you wouldn't even listen to what the department is saying today. It's so embarrassing. It's such an embarrassment to be a chairperson of water affairs. Because when you start reading newspapers lately, I was reading Fox Blood yesterday, it's a free state newspaper. And I went and saw the face of Terence Nombe. The first thing that came to my mind is, oh, God, see, I don't know what happened. And indeed, Vatan VS Department was among the worst performing departments, national departments. Hence, I said when I started here, the improvement that you guys are thinking about, I wish we could also see that kind of improvement. For instance, under the very same presentation from Mr. Ayaya of PSMA and federal regulations of people findings, I don't know what I'm saying. It says here, it's correct the way it is put here. Sometimes I agree with you that because we are not easy, I'm a rural Khoza woman who just happened to be around urban areas. Contrary to the requirements of CR 168, blah, 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 and Section 7, the accounting officer did not implement an enforced control to prevent the occurrence of irregular expenditure arising from non-compliance with procurement processes. You see that?
Mm-hmm.
And then it says their recommendations. Mm-hmm. Employees have been served with disciplinary warning. What does that mean? What is the meaning of that? Is that a solution? Mm-hmm. What is the meaning of that? But after what you said to us, I agree with everybody here that this department, they don't know what they are doing. In my language, this is because we say that about one and two. Mm-hmm. Oh. umntwana mama hey ngiyazi ngizosothe na sethu ngathi sothu wabona lo thakho isiye nje momo le
ntse
okuthi oh sokule now the auditor general agrees with this statement as we have said that these are the findings. But there is a lot of non-compliance with laws of regulations of this country. In non-compliance is a serious challenge. But if you don't comply with the laws of this country, you comply with what? If you don't comply with the laws of this country. Because the first thing that one is supposed to know when you are having a department or when you are given a responsibility in a certain area, you must know the regulations and the laws that guide you in order for you to be able then to perform your duties. Myself here as a chairperson of the committee, I know the responsibility that I'm tasked with from A to Z. Pieces of legislation that guide me, the rules of parliament that guide me as a member of parliament, as a chair of committee, I know what it is that I'm supposed to do and that I'm not supposed to do. And you expect the same in the department, that people must know what is expected from them. And the issue that we have a problem with skills people within the department, it's true actually when you say that it has been a problem. I don't know since when it has been a problem. But we don't know what is it that is being done to address that problem. Because we can't sit here every year and listen to the problems of shortage of skills in the department without any remedy. We need a remedy. Hence, I would agree with members of parliament who says that I think we've reached a level now where we say that we can't deal with the department. The political head must come and explain to us what is the problem. Because if we call the minister just to come and explain to us that if you are expected to submit report to the Auditor General in May and you submit in July, I mean, what's that? Even the one that you submit in July is not correct. And then the next thing you argue with Auditor General and say that the Auditor General is not right, you are right. We are not going to allow that to happen in this parliament. The law allows us to deal with the books that have been audited by the Auditor General, not by the department. So if there is any other thing that you think that the Auditor General hasn't been fair with yourselves yet, as department, it's got nothing to do with us. Ours is just to deal with the audited statement of the Auditor General. And after your statement, SCGC, then we are convinced Auditor General is 100% correct. But now we are seeking for the remedy. How do we remedy the situation? How do we remedy the situation? It's a problem. And it's what we want. Because if you give that to us as politicians to remedy that for you, it won't be nice. You will all just collapse. So the best thing is for you that to come up with initiatives of how to deal with the situation when things are like this. Otherwise, if it's us, Honorable Morgan, that needs to deal with us, then many people will collapse. And we don't want to see that happen in the department. Stability in the department. Hence, I agree with you guys when you say that maybe the minister should come, because really we need stability in the department. We are tired of this acting people. You know, last time, if I did not stop that meeting, you would have been faced with acting people here who have no power, who couldn't even respond to the questions that we're asking today. Hence, we said we can rather postpone the meeting for today so that we have the right people in order for them to be able to respond to the members' concerns. I don't want to get into many issues, because the issues of irregular expenditure that you guys raised here, even the amount that they disclose to the Auditor General, it's not what was in reality in their book. It was more than what they disclosed. Is it still capacity? Or what is it? I don't know. it's a corrupt mind. Sometimes you get people got corrupt minds who are not, because when you think of corruption, you think of people who take money that they are not supposed to take. But in this instance, this corruption in the department is corrupt minds that we use to do things like this and we do them like this. Not for them getting anything for that matter. Just the mind is corrupt. That this is how we use to do things and we are going to do things like this. Because if you look into that report, 2004, 2005, 2006, 2007, is the same thing. So that means the mind is corrupt. It can't change. It does what it used to be doing all these years. I don't know who will come and correct this department. I don't know what kind of a gift you will get this department right. I don't know. Mama, after you, then I'll give to delegation to respond.
Chairperson, I think we need to take an unpopular decision in this meeting that will call the minister to come to this committee. Because, Chairperson, my feeling is that we're dealing with people who have got more family responsibility than what they are entitled to. They are always on sick leave, they are always busy with their responsibilities, more than what they are employed for. That's what the Auditor General is saying. And, Chairperson, I think with due apology, we're not dealing with honesty. Some of the members or some of the employees are not honest to us. Because we've been given apologies in all the meetings. And the last meeting that you cancelled, the Chairperson, that was deliberately, I'm sorry, done. The argument with the Auditor General, there's no way that we can say the Auditor General is not correct. Meanwhile, the Auditor General got information from the same people who are saying the Auditor General is not correct. So, Chairperson, let's take an unpopular decision to say we need to meet the minister as a politician here. Thank you.
Yeah, I think also in answering the question that was posed, DG must also explain this item like a regular expenditure because he condoned money. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Condoned by acting DG. And this is said to be a regular expenditure. So, what were the reasons for this condemnation?
Yeah, maybe it can be explained that. The 12 million that was condoned. You can't just say that condoned by an activity. That's the taxpayer money. We need to know what was it, because I understand that there was an investigation that was done. And then what was the finding? Which led her to condone that kind of amount? Maybe we need to do that. Adding to what Mama Mabuza was saying, activity. We are not being cruel, but we are embarrassed by the report of the Auditor General. Employees had negative kept leave credit. Employees received more family responsibility leave than what they were entitled to. Monthly compensation for overtime constituted more than 30% of an employee's monthly salary, and no exceptional circumstances applied as defined by the overtime policy of the department. If you can't employ people, if you can't fill the vacancy, that's always what will happen here. People will sit in their offices. When they are supposed to knock off at 4 o'clock, they will sit until 8 o'clock, until 9 o'clock at night, and say that we've been doing jobs because we know that there are so many vacancies in the department. But if you do that, which is against the law, it's non-compliance. I mean, how can you do that? How can you do that? And then acting this is, there's one thing that we're asking ourselves that do you have a component in the department that evaluates the performance of your staff, of that monitor the spending trends of the department? Because it seems as if you only became aware when you are supposed to close your books for the financial year that you have this challenge. Don't you have a quarterly financial spending monitoring method, you know? Well, you could see that, no, here I think we're not doing right, let us change, let us do this way. And all a monthly one, one of the things that was said by the delegation from the Auditor General's office and members was saying that they tried to propose some key controls, which about 5 key controls are taking daily transactions. Yeah? Secondly, monthly reports, reconciliation. monthly assets, something, prevent non-compliance with laws and regulations, link expenditure to service delivery, which is our favorite here. Because here, as members of parliament, our interests are within service delivery. If you say that you spend 20 million in the pre-state province, DDG, we want to know that 20 million, was it for the good use for the community of the pre-state, which is service delivery otherwise. But in this instance, the department, we don't feel it that the money that has been used for the department was for the good cause, you see. And one thing that we hate, and we did say that last financial year, this thing of rollover. This thing of rollovers, when during the year you would come and say that you need so much funding. I can imagine last year, I remember very well when I was debating Honorable Morgan, I said to Parliament that the 7.9 billion is too little for this department. We want 100 billion. If they fail to use 7.9 billion, are you expecting me to say they must get 100 billion? What are they going to do with 100 billion if they fail to use 7.9 billion? I'm not going to say that any longer. That was the first and the last. I'm not going to say that until they prove to us that they can use that. And also one thing that the department must know, we have now by law, because of the money bill, by law we have the right of saying that 7.9 billion is too much for you. They must give you 2 billion. By law we can say that. If you are not satisfied the way you are using this money, so what's the use of giving you so much money if you don't know how to use the money? Especially with the kind of challenge that we have now with regard to the access to clean water in this country. So, I don't know, but that's the kind. And I think after everything here, members of parliament, you have to guide me. For the first time, this is the kind of report that I'm not happy about. And if nobody is not happy about the report, there is no way that it can pass the parliament. Thank you.
I might have sounded as if I'm only talking about problems and maybe not placed a lot of emphasis on solutions. I indicated to the members that when this matter came to my attention, even before the report for the audit report was released, I escalated the matter to the minister with proposals. Proposals, I've already had 3 meetings with the CEO of DBSA. I've already had meetings with the CEO, 4 meetings with the CEO of TCTA. I've already had meetings with the DG of Treasury. I've already had meetings with the Accountant General. When I went to the minister, I went to the minister with a proposal how to take the matter forward. What we have not done, with the Honorable Member Morgan was talking about, which I agree fully, there needs to be a detailed plan. I didn't want here, I said to the colleagues when we discussed yesterday, that one doesn't want to present to members of parliament a plan that is not well thought, that also comes from inside. We do need an independent opinion to come up with a plan. So we are willing to come back to this committee with a detailed plan of how are we going to work this. I agree fully. We are obliged to bring a plan, and what will make you comfortable is to have a sense of exactly what measures are going to be taken by who at what point in time. At a high level, I can say to members, from where I stand as an activist, I'm able to say one of the key interventions that needs to be done is a skills gap analysis, even competency assessment, to identify the problems we see starting with the finance, prioritizing the finance branch and say, let's do competence assessment, which can be done to be able to know what skills do people have, what skills people don't do. So I'm clear about that today. Also, I'm clear about the fact that you need to reappraise the risk. What is the extent of the risk? And where is the risk sitting? And we need that part and come up with immediate actions and short to medium. One of the issues also, members, I've asked myself during my discussions with the AG, because we don't want to wait until the AG becomes waterproof. It's the role of internal audit and risk management in the department. I've already written a letter to the accountant general to come and assess the effectiveness of the internal audit, the component that is in the department, because they're supposed to be the quality assurer for me to say, here's an early warning. Things are falling apart. There is no control system. Then what is, as top management do we need to do before the AD comes to the department? It's only now that the internal audit is really starting to function, and also we, as top management, we've taken upon ourselves to look at the reports they produce, the work they do, they're doing. And one of the things we discovered around the internal audit is the fact that they're spending most of the time on investigations, hotline complaints, and we were saying, I made a decision that they can't be spending time on investigation. They need to shift their direction and spend time on looking at, are the controls in the department working? And to what extent are we complying? So we need to be getting early warning system from the internal audit of the department. Also, there needs to be a linkage, because we have a risk profile that is not necessarily talking to the AG's findings. So that's why I've taken some action. We are currently agreed on the topic. We need to assess the effectiveness of the risk management unit that we have and the internal audit. And to what extent are they helping us as quality assurance? So those are the things, members, that we've been discussing since January to say, how do we step up the performance? Also, the audit committee, I had a number of meetings with the audit committee. Also, they've raised these issues. One of the issues also from their side, the aspect they have raised, is to say, I have to tighten up performance management and the performance of the CFO and the performance of the chief director. And I had discussions with the CFO, I had discussions with the chief director on it, because one of the things I said, we are putting to you, because they are going to report this to you, we are putting to you that you have to step up regular performance assessment of the finance budget and the internal audit. So they also raised issues and also suggested that we need to think of innovative ways of how to deal with the issues. And I've already done that. We are reviewing the performance agreement of the CFO, because one of the things the AG brought to the attention of the minister, CFO has got to produce reports monthly and quarterly around compliance, around reconciliation, around the suspense account, around irregular expense. I've already reviewed the performance agreement of the CFO to accommodate those compliance issues. I've also reviewed the performance agreement of the internal audit director to accommodate that these things have got to happen. So, members, I'm trying to say we have time to look at how do we step up certain areas where there's high risk, issue to be handled. We've done that. Also, in terms of focusing on the issue, how are we managing performance in expenditure? If you take our top management agenda, there's a standing item on expense salary. There's a standing item on internal audit. What purpose I may add is that we might not have been strong enough in doing. We do get a sense from the CFO that there's underspending in the department. We do get it monthly. We get reports monthly. Is what is it that we need to do different, rather than wait maybe until the end of the quarter to say we're going to mitigate against underspending? But we get quarterly expenditure report, and they will tell us that there's underspending in this area. So we do get those. And the way the government structures are monthly, but it's the actions beyond government structures. What do we do? Minister also, we have met the minister twice, even the auditor, in terms of disclosing irregular expenditure. Minister gave an instruction that irregular expenditure must be disclosed, and that was that. So minister has also been involved in the financial situation of the department. So we are working on that. We also provide minister with quarterly expenditure reports, which also informs the minister that we are understanding by this and what do we have to do differently. the gap, honorable members, maybe the execution part, because sometimes you might say, Minister, we intend to do the following thing. Do we then do those things as we move forward? That might be a gap. That might be a gap. But we do have measures in place and top management to monitor, to get, we do have exposure to say we are spending, to say there's irregularity. So we do have the government structures and the taken action. So what I'm promising this committee, we will be coming to you with a detailed plan on how do we take it. But I do need people from outside to help us come up with that plan. That's one. The issues around irregularity. I've had meetings, I've just mentioned one meeting. The branch where you've got a lot of money, where they're using the branch infrastructure branch. I've had a meeting with the DPD. He brought in the team. I wanted to understand why I would be having constant, why am I receiving constant requests to condone irregularities. And then what they informed me that as you build these dams, you are bound to hit some problems that you never anticipated. Then the consultant that is on the ground has to be paid, because if he digs the rock and he discovers something that he wasn't aware of, he's got to dig further. As he digs further, he needs to be, now you need to adjust the scope. However, what we then agreed in that meeting, we need to have tight project management, because we should be able to see that this project is going to exceed contract management. I have to admit that we are not doing well in contract management and project management. Because we should be able to see there's going to be a problem. We don't wait until the end of the contract. We don't wait until the funds are exhausted. We then, before that time, we then do the adjustment, because government has a process of variation if you see the problem, which we know. So contract management, we are wanting in that area, project management. The team in infrastructure agreed that they will have to do contract management and project management and escalate to me to say that there can be a potential of exceeding the price, there can be a potential of exceeding the scope of work. So I've done that, some of the actions I've sort of taken in some the condonement of those actions. It's a compliance issue. The irregular expense took place in the branches. And in terms of the PFMA, I have to condone it, because if I don't condone it, it becomes an audit query. So I'm forced to condone it. The issue that I sort of thought of, as well, I was thinking about irregular expenses, and it's a big thing in medical. Maybe one of the things I sort of thought, and top management we need to consider, just to have it in performance agreement, any branch that has got, any person who's involved in that, then there's no performance bonus. We just have
performance bonus.
So we can look at using. You can use it as a performance as a.
But are you still giving bonus to people? Performance bonus? For doing what? For messing up? You can't give bonus to people who are messing up.
Then, I heard you. We have a moderation committee separated that moderated the friend and the community. If you look at last year, there's been a serious drop in terms of the people receiving bonus. We've really there's a serious drop. The number has gone down. If you look previous years, we used to give to a lot of people. But if you look at this annual report, compare with previous years.
That's why I'm going through your statement from 2008.
All of them.
That's why the clients are doing nothing. It's not of that bonus. That's doing nothing. It's not of that bonus. Why am I doing it anyway? I'm going to get bonus.
I've noted there is a concern. The other issue, the question is the issue of when we deal with irregularized cases. So one of the things we have to consider is self management. Cases where there was justified reason. For example, if somebody is dealing a debt, and in that context there's irregular expenses, we just need to make sure that there's delivery. And then we can say to the person, you don't need this. But in cases where there's negligence, we just have to consider to charge people. They have to be charged on the scholar, because I think there's maybe an impression taken that we are in the mode of giving warning. Without something like even top management, we have to go back and say, how are we going to stop irregular expenses? And we really need to deliver the top management that if I continue to give warning, because I introduced the warning. So in the past,
how do you speak up to the regular expenses? Because this time,
and what happens when now the person is that 19 million, what happens then?
Okay.
In this case, I'll tell you what happened. The irregular, the ones that I normally get from finance, when they approach the supply chain, when they do the payment, they discover that there's an irregular expense because the contract expired or the money that has been paid exceeds the money in the contract, the total in the contract. They will bring that to my attention. In this incident, the auditors came to the department, and during the audit, they suspected that there might be more irregular expenses that have not been reported to me as an accounting officer. They then raised the matter with me as the minister. Then issued a directive to say, we are given 2 days to disclose. So managers had to go back and check their records. We are given 2 days to disclose any regular expenditure that you might have, that might have occurred, and it is not disclosed. Because it must be disclosed to the organization. If you discover that I've exceeded, you must disclose that. So that's where the auditor, the audit issue came. It's when we then, minister said, please go and check all the records for the year and disclose. So managers were requested to do that. So they went and did that and checked and discovered what the auditor general discovered. That's how what is happening. But certainly going forward, that's why I was saying, going forward, we just need to have a change of approach around the regular expenses. It can't really be the case where we are more reactive. We need to find a way to be proactive around the regular expenses. It's a government-wide problem, and I think I will have to get some ideas also from other cities, because it seems to be a sort of a something that is permeating through government, but I just need to engage with Treasury and the AG. However, also, if the internal audit also is functioning well, they should be able to escalate the issues of irregular expenses to us, top management. So we should also maybe make sure that at top management, from the internal audit report, we get monthly reports of irregular expenses. So that's why I'm saying we need to check how can we use the internal audit to bring these issues without waiting for the AG to really investigate and bring the issues.
Chair, I just want to follow up.
Yes.
I'm just battling to understand the acting DG, and I just want clarity. You're saying that you condone the irregular expenditure. Now, what does that mean in terms of responsibility? I'm really battling to believe that one faulty toilet, a repair to it could be 2 million rand. One, it says repair faulty toilet 2 million. and you condone it. Now, I'm asking, you know, I'm lacking to understand page 140. I don't know if I'm reading it correctly, but it's part of the 12.921. It's 2,000 for one toilet. Even if it's 2,000 for one toilet, and maybe I'm not reading the numbers correctly, but what does condone mean? It means now nobody gets punished for it. If I look at the top one there, I'm going into specifics now, and maybe I shouldn't be doing that, but I'm just backing to understand. If you condone it, is that the end of the matter now?
Thank you, Chairperson. DJ uzilele yena before sokushaya. Chef Christ before we get that. But still, you're trying to answer our questions, but there are loopholes within those responses. That's why I felt that we must not interrogate this report, and we must call the minister to come and account and assist us in that regard. Because she spoke about independent opinion. Independent opinion, Chairperson, cannot assist if individual opinion is not initiate an issue. It will be difficult. Individual must initiate. Then that independent opinion will assist that individual so that you can continue the process. And secondly, Chairperson, not all these sections in the department are heavy problem. We need to be specific. That's why I'm saying who must report the irregularities financially in this department. Because here, where there is irregularity in the department, you must say this factor has caused this. For instance, on page 186 in the auditor's report, there is an irregularity of 6.9 million there. But if you understand that irregularity, just a mere fact that a tender process has not been followed, then it's condoned. You see, there are lots of flaws. When you read this document from the Auditor General and read the document of the CFO, really they are differing there and there. We need a clarity on the reporting of the finances of this department. We can't work like this, really. You condone on what? Who's charged on this problem? Is there anyone who has been charged for that irregularity? No one, no report, which means there is no one. It's only condoned.
Thank you, Chairperson. My apology for coming late. I had to start to engage the AG on this matter at another platform, but for the benefit of this community. Wherever I come across someone who is of finances, as always, take advantage of that and utilize that. I'm not going to take you back. That's going to be follow up, and I took the tune from the responses of OFTC. First and foremost, it's the issue of condoning irregular expenditure by the department. Yes, I agree with the explanation that says it's an action that I could not avoid. But when you condone, you're taking now the responsibility from the perpetration. Then you become, it's your responsibility now. You cannot just pass that back and say, no, it happened at a particular level. But you took a resolution as the management of this department that we condone this. It's not an individual action for one to condone in a normal situation if you are operating normally. you should be taking a resolution that says, let us now condone. So if the acting DJ has condoned, she has not condoned as an individual. The management of this department has condoned, including the minister of this department has condoned. That's why the minister has to account for that, because we need leadership in this department. Secondly, the opinion by the AG. AG will issue an opinion on the basis of the information received. If there is no information, there is an opinion. If an action for whatever irregularity, if there was no sanction taken by the management, it becomes an opinion. So the issue of condoning, I would say it was, in fact, it's a failure to take action to condone. Then when it comes to AG, would you then expect the AG to unqualify you if you condone irregular expenses? It's completely out of order, that one. You just can't do that, not unless you don't have an individual who is precisely running the finances of the department and dealing with issues profusely. Then, lastly, on the improvement of the capability of the department to deliver. The first bullet, it says, monitoring and evaluation framework is in place. We are not looking for frameworks here. We are looking for activities. This framework is not referring to warm bodies. We want activities by warm bodies who are filling those frameworks. This framework is just a structure. It's a structure that needs the warm bodies to do the work. Then the monitoring and evaluation purposes, it's not an issue that we can say it must start now. It should have started a long time ago. So it means the monitoring and evaluation has never been there. If the structure is in place now, the framework is in place now, where has been that framework? If it was there, why did you use it? I'm not very much convinced, because even the issue of 90% of staff assessed, well, who are you assessing? Are you assessing the very same bodies who have failed the department? Assessing them, and then you regard that as a turnaround method. It doesn't work like that. No, it doesn't. The asset, 95% of asset registers reconciled. I don't think we must really differ on this one. If we don't have a department that is operational, we must say so. We must be proud and say so. If you say asset register, 95% of your asset register has been reconciled, but on the ground you see nothing happening. Employee wellness initiatives. I'm sure this issue of wellness, you should have started with that one, because it means you have warm bodies separately in this department that need a specialist in relation to wellness. You can't justify your own salary if you are not working. So it means you are not able to justify that. But if you say you are well by getting salaries of which you are not working for, would you regard yourself as well? And it's good for the department working to say initiatives will have to be implemented. They must not say they have been implemented when everything has not started. It will be. Then it means we must monitor that wellness program is being used to the benefit of this department. Let me end there, Chairperson. Otherwise, one was even able to engage this department without even looking at this presentation. Even if I had no vote in speaking, I would be able to talk, because the actions on the ground are speaking for themselves. The last issue is the issue of water licenses. You know, on one issue that the department has reflected on here is to say there are about 19,000 working for water. That project working for water. That thing is not operational. It collapsed in Umtata. You were not even able to pay
those masses who came out to say, now that the government is considering us to assist in this issue of the provision of water, you train those people, you don't even give them as a 20 rand for attending and no training. At the end of the day, you say, no, you don't belong. This program cannot be run at the local level of the municipality. It must go to overtime. And you know it for a fact that if the municipalities are also failing you if you are not failing as well in terms of ensuring that there is water going to the people. So service providers are putting on tests that are dry. When I engage, the district municipality say, we don't get assistance from the department. Who are those people? I would want to see who are those people who are issuing license in this department. I want to know them. Because seemingly they are issuing these licenses elsewhere, not prioritizing our own people that are starving, that have been thirsty even long before 1994. Thank you, Sir President.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I just want to say that I'm Chairperson. DG, the more I explain, is the more I give, I raise so many questions. In terms of contract, if you awarded somebody a contract, that somebody will try to say, I can't get an expenditure, yeah, over 1, 2, 3. It's not the burden of the department because they do the assessment. Yeah, before the fire contract, I'm doing the assessment and then I'm giving that if I can get a rock, I must include that particular mine. So when the survey, but when you say that now that some of the money irregular is caused by people who will say, no, I charge you less. I've got a rock now here. Now I must increase the money. Did you not give Ubuwe simple language, straightforward, and tell us exactly? Because the more you talk, the more you raise more questions to us. And that's why we will interject you time and again. Because we will want more clarity. Because some of us, we've been is contracting and is man. So we have come up to you. Thank you.
You know, sir, Honorable Liango was not even in this room when we were raising the very issue that we've raised now. So I just want the department just to listen to this. Because he was not in the room. And yet he comes in, he raised the very issue that the members have actually raised earlier, the week after. Why would we think alike like that if really there's nothing wrong?
You know, Chair, the issue of performance bonus,
it's a very, very serious thing that you can pay. I don't know how assessment was done for you to arrive at paying performance bonus, and unless really this department, you just need to wipe out the entire department and just come up with new people. You know, I once said, and they laughed about it, they never took it serious to say that, you know, we need activist-minded, you know, civil servants when we are dealing with people, especially, you know, departments like water, because that it's a livelihood for people. Nobody, including themselves, can survive without water. And when we are dealing with an activist state, we always refer to South Africa as an activist state. So therefore, you need to have activist civil servants that understand the people and the needs, who are actually passionate about the needs of the people, not the 8-to-4. Kind of workers and people that just sit behind the desk and just produce papers. I accept English is a nice, you know, it's very nice, and I think it has been proven because the office of the
of the AG, you know, is actually concerned. You know, there are people who are just very good in sitting behind the desk and write, whereas you are actually supposed to be getting out there and understand, once you go out and understand the needs of the people, you will then be able to know exactly what is actually expected and is required of you to do. So I'm off the view, Chairperson, actually, before I leave, because I've got the next meeting, that I agree with members who have actually said we should have closed the book long time ago and called this meeting off and say, Minister, please come and account, and actually just ask them to just pack and go back to Pretoria, and we expect the minister to come down here. Having said that, really, Ms. Ngele, I would be looking forward, if you can please give a time frame of this turnaround plan that you are talking about. It must not be long. You must be able to say, I agree to say that you need an outsider, because you really, a doctor, have never been able to show yourself. You need an outsider to come and assist you guys, but it must be able to be within a particular time frame, and that you'll be able to come back to this committee to say, this is what we have done, and this is what we are putting, so that we can be able to hold you responsible for what you've presented here. Because what we are doing here now, we are not just talking, we are holding you responsible for the things that you've said to us previously. That when we look at your report, we still see the very things that you have been saying to us, month in and month out. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think is today this agenda or the criticize for the department. But I know the all the 100% who agree, because the department so we need to give you chance, but can't give you a lot of chance for every year by year. You have the strategic plan, you have the turnaround plan. You can't come to here speak to the committee, say you still have a lot of problems, you see. Then now we are issued all inside problem all from the your report, not from the our mouth or from the our other information. If we from the other information coming, I think you create a lot of problems. Like the other colleague said, I think DG, you raise the more issue, then you got more questions. But I try to stop your question and then for this meeting, because you already speak to the committee, say you will be prepared more detail come to this committee. So I think as a committee member, we try to give this department. I think I request the chairperson give the department a chance. I think this one, this annual report that you can approve by the 26th of October, I don't think so. But the committee still try to give you a chance. But you must be professional. Because you show us inside, you put all these costs, everything inside the cost by the government. We are the same, the one board in the government. We are not the individual. We just will try to stick to your department, how can run in the smoothly and successful for the your water and environment department. We not say only want to criticize for everything you are doing wrong and everything is wrong. No, this is not our mission. So I try a request to the chairperson. I think today is the meeting. You can close. Then I think we waiting for them to give us more detail. Then I think we try can improve in the police bad situation. Thank you.
Thank you very much, members. I think what we are going to do, we'll finish the financials and finish the financial statement, and then the other part of the report, and then we'll do it at a later stage. I'll see how many members will be here next week. I know myself and Honorable Matele won't be around next week, and then I think most of the ANC members will be around. We'll see then how best we can try, because the finance is very important that we do with the finances. So that when we finish the other part of the report, and then we know that we had a quorum when we deal with the finances. But it's obvious that even if we deal with the other part next week, we'll not be in a position of adopting this report. We'll not be in a position of adopting this report before we meet with the committee. So
I will give them to respond to some of the questions that he has raised, and also I think you must also not be too hard on yourself, because you brought these people are responsible for this. Why don't you give themselves a response for themselves and tell us what is it that they are doing? Because as much as you are leading this delegation and department, but I think since you have these people here, let them talk and tell us what is happening. Tell them what is happening, and then after this, then we'll close, and then I will then follow the correct processes and procedures of Parliament when a report is not due. It's for the first time. I must say that for the first time since I'm a chair of a committee, that the annual report of a department is not being adopted by the portfolio committee and the proposal is from the ruling party for that matter. So it's for the first time, but there must always be the first time in order for us to correct things. DG, I'll give over to you to assign this responsibility to this people, because Sabah, even the people who came to you and said to you that this is the toilet that you built to me, don't you just condone without getting the proper information. Let them tell us how possible it is to do the toilet for 2,000 rand.
So I was going to discuss the issue that relates to my condemnation. Can I request this of the machine? That I'm taking full responsibility for this condemnation, and I have to tell the government we have not acted on anybody. There was no action taken against all the people who committed something like that. And I would request the government that we as top management, we look at the matter. I just want to close the matter of regulations, because I've condoned these matters and we brought my attention that I have. But there's no action that has been taken against the people that have committed the irregular demand. That is action in terms of being disciplined. The only thing we did was just to give a return warning. That's what I did for my time. That's why I was trying to explain this. This is my responsibility that I'm taking orders for it. There's no action that was taken. But we will continue to do that.
So
we didn't
get an opinion.
The fact that the person who's supposed to lead them came all the way
and made presentation to the portfolio committee, and then she saw the document for the same time. I think we're too soft that day. We should have sent them back, but we did not do that. Because by doing so, we thought that it would be a victory to this junior manager who don't have respect. Because they think that they are dealing with the acting DG, and they're not dealing with the acting DG. They are dealing with their minister. They are dealing with their minister, because the minister is the one supposed to account here. So if all these things, all these funny things that they are doing, and even the way that, I mean, I was listening when you spoke about this and condoned what was. I was made to believe that I did this. I was told that I did this. You understand? Yeah. Then I did this. So if individuals think that they are dealing with the acting DG, they are not dealing with the acting DG. They are dealing with their minister. So if the minister can't put her foot down and deal with the individuals in the department who are doing what they are doing, I pity her. I pity her. Because these people don't respect the authority. If you don't respect parliament and you think that you'll survive, then you'll never survive, not in this portfolio committee, maybe other portfolio committees, not in this one. For instance, if should I or should one of us here identify this individual who is a problem, who holds the service delivery in that department, so that people should not get what they're supposed to be getting in South Africa, we'll deal with that person. We'll deal with that person. We can't let that happen. I mean, you can't sit here like fools. You are mothers, you are grandfathers, you are responsible citizens of this country. We can't be fooled by officials from Department of Water Affairs. Tell Mama Kuza, I know about that. We saw that when they came here. That she didn't understand what was happening because she was never given the document to approve this document in order for the approved document to come down to Cape Town. So we know about that, and we'll deal with that at another platform. Thank you, Mama Boo.
Thank you. Can I request Corporation to respond to the overcrediting on ID? And CFO, you have to respond to the process that you undertook to write off the
budget.
As a company that does the function of
Okay, my name is Bubele Baralisa. I am the Chief Information Officer of the department.
Hello.
Chairperson, this official doesn't have official documents. It's only just the paper where he was writing. What is happening? What is your
document?
Where are your official documents? We all have documents there. This is not a sponsor show. Where is your document? Where are your documents? No, where are the documents? Official one. Where does he refer?
No, I think it's
right. He refers.
Everything that we are reading,
you
have documents. I see all of
you
have documents. Where are
your documents? Okay, this morning I was the guy who was responsible to take one of my fellow colleagues to the hospital. And the documents were in the same bag, and I left them in the car. I came here rushing, and I'm using the documents, I'm sharing the documents with my colleague here.
Excuse me,
my husband
came
after
you.
Okay. I'm not so sure now whether I should start by addressing the document that was here last time, or should I continue with the IT? Okay. When it comes to IT, I think one of the things that has already been mentioned here, that the department has taken accountability for, is that our planning is not so good in the department. And that planning does affect IT in some way. Because when we are talking here in the end about the expenditure of IT, the picture you are not seeing fully there is that it's not that the IT overspent on things that they had budgeted for, that had been costed, and which then means that the over expenditure was the acquisition or the consumption of IT services over and above what was budgeted for. What it means is that in an outsourcing environment that we are in, we have a service provider that does the IT services that the department consumes over, over a period of years. That service provider has cost the services in a certain way. Now, what then happens on the planning side, which IT doesn't necessarily have control for, you don't provide money for IT services for various reasons. Firstly, we don't control as IT the number of people that you are going to employ during the course of the year. Now, the expenditure on the service provider side, though, is very much dependent on things like the number of employees that you have, which then means that if you increase the number of employees from the branch side, from the planning side of the branches, for instance, without allocating money for those IT services, you then are sitting with a situation where the department is going to consume the IT services and has no way of not consuming those IT services, because we're not talking of a project here where you decide beforehand that because I don't have money for this project, I'm not going to continue and do it. You are talking of a service that has to be continually provided for. Now, if you have not provided money on the budgeting side, you are definitely going to overspend because those services are constant. You have a certain number of employees who have to consume IT services. Now, in the end, because of what we have already taken accountability for, which is poor planning on the planning side, that doesn't, for instance, when you plan for your number of employees that you're going to employ, that does not include and take into account. Sorry. No, in this specific case, for instance, I'm going to use an example of planning for recruitment. It's a specific example. When you are recruiting for your component or your branch or your directory, you as a manager are going to say, I'm going to have for this year, I'm going to employ so many people for this year. But if that information doesn't go to IT and you don't for your recruitment, you don't give money to IT to provide, for instance, for your software licenses for that person who is going to use the computer, you don't provide, for instance, for the provision of services for supporting of that computer, the IT is going to, as a whole, from the side of the service provider, because what the service provider does is to send you the invoices that's based on the total number of employees of the department. Now, what I'm saying, because there's the joint planning between when components and branches do their planning, they sometimes don't take into account these kinds of expenses, because it's difficult for them sometimes to say that I'm going to employ somebody, but I must also remember that I need to pay for a software license. I must also remember that there's an IT service provider that's going to provide IT services. So part of the reason, sorry? Yes.
If we are responsible for IT, and then we need to spend one body, right? I do not know what I'm supposed to say, but I need 7 people, this is for that. Meaning that I have 17 levels of economy. If I raising funds because I needed to have each and every one of them a death care. I'm the one supposed to say that I need something. Nobody can. I come to understand that you're going to give me whatever I need something. Now the question is, who is this person I'm claiming?
No, no, that's exactly what I'm saying. You as a manager of your component, or let's say a component, not a directorate, because it could be a directorate or a chief directorate. When you do that planning, you don't, like what happens in the department is that managers don't take into account for those kinds of expenditures on IT services. Yes, they don't. It's a general trend in the department. I wouldn't want, because some of them, for instance, I've not gotten bonuses since I arrived at Water Affairs, so I wouldn't say managers get bonuses as a blanket statement. Never. Yes. What we have to say here is that already you have raised this matter of planning in the department as one of the issues that we need to look into. And I'm saying that indeed we agree with you, and the so-called IT over expenditure, which basically in essence is under budgeting for IT rather than over expenditure on IT, falls under that realm of planning, which we have already said we need to look into. Is that confusing, or is that still confusing?
You don't go straight. Why don't you go straight to the
response that
you
want? No, I'm trying to do that. this is exactly the thing.
You say that it has to understand, so that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. As a result, now you
exceed it. As a result, because if you are having a certain number of IT services that you are going to consume regardless of what you do in the department. Otherwise, if the system of the department does not perform. Now, on the side where you have to plan for money to pay for those services, you don't provide that money. And because you are not going to shut down the department continues functioning. It then consumes that little budget that was there, but you still need an extra budget that was not provided for because of the things that I mentioned, which is that, for example, when you employ more, you consume more. You consume more licenses, you consume more IT services that come from the IT service provider.
Because to me, I would think that when you learn to see so many things, obviously we have to budget for it. So why is this system manual thing? Mine was not budgeted for the IT, for these people who are from.
For the exact reason that we said before, in fact, that it came from the members of the committee, that the department is not planning very well. I'm saying,
we
and I'm...
Before.
Sorry?
We did not see that before.
See what? The
this
no, this, this has been...
For the first time that we hear that the department is not planning.
Well, again, you... It has been said here that these are all the issues that emanates from a long time in the department. And again, all I'm trying to say here is that if you are going to limit this as an IT issue, you'd be missing the boat. Now, you have, members of the committee have already said in this committee that this planning issue is an issue that is long standing in the department. And I'm saying that now, if you are asking issues of IT about this, apparent over expenditure, then you must then relate them back to what you have already said here, which is that the department is not planning very well. Now, once you understand that, you are not going to then have a singular question that is directed only at IT.
you are going to, no, I'm not saying you should say so. I'm not saying, no, 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 okay.
PFMA, we have the option for the environment, which is done by the region. That's why I wanted to highlight to you up front during my slide. And by the way, the slide I presented was the situation before we did the presentation to AG and other to audit. Now, that situation, when we noticed, and that's why I wanted to give it to you raw before moving to the annual report. I wanted to give you raw situation before the conclusion of the final settlement. Now, when we look at those figures after the year has closed on 31st, we would then, or 2 days before the end of the year, we would then go to the DG and tell the DG, this program you are going to overspend, this is what the disbursement is looking like. Now, this other program has understand, or even before month, then I would personally motivate the DG and tell the DG, the TFMA allows you to move from one program to another up to 8%. But it must be motivated. In the case of IT, the motivation was based on the backlog of invoices that the CIO inherited, or even myself inherited. There were issues which were historical, either people not submitting invoices, and etc. Then the skill on the 33 million that I've talked about, the 34, I think that's where a lot of members are referring to, had to do with office accommodation. Office accommodation, when we shifted money from the other two programs to program one, was because the function of office accommodation originally used to be in public works. In 2005 and 2006, Trevor was incorrect. The decision was taken to devolve or to transfer this function for the department to manage their own budget. Now, the budget increased at less than 6%. But the inflation and the escalation on rentals, the escalation on municipal services increased by more than 8% in the year, for the last 5 years, and I would say for the last 5 years. So obviously it becomes necessary when we talk of earmark funding of 138 billion by National Treasury for accommodation, it will not be adequate because that one assumes an inflation increase of up to 6%. But the actual rental increase or the increase in the municipal services like water and electricity will obviously be more than that, and therefore at the end of the year it will be necessary again to point out to the DG and say, because of these reasons, it may pay therefore to allocate more resources in that particular area in order for the year not to end up with an expense. And I think that's what we did in this particular case.
Can I add something?
I think it's for the why the problem, my colleague, is confusion for what you say or your manager. Can you answer my question for your computer, yeah, service provider, how much you spend? Because it's regarding to the IT. I think the CFO can he also can reply for my question. How much you spend? And the last year how much you spend? So how many percent you already jumped? I can say to you jumped in the 200%.
Okay, let me first do my what I was going to say. What I was say was the budget of IT in the department is per annum around 120 million. Yeah. But because the actual contract is longer, you divide the number of years of the contract by that amount. But what I wanted to add, so to the question
to the answer that the CFO gave. What the department does during the course of the year doesn't mean that, like, to remedy the over expenditure from whatever component of the department, whether that component is IT or not, is not going to reflect as that component not having achieved over expenditure, because that over expenditure is against the budget that was set at the beginning of the year. When you then do your balance and everything, you are trying to remedy that situation and balance your books during the course of the year. That is the role of the CFO. But in the end, what you have budgeted for, if you went over it in terms of what you have in the budget and what you end up paying the service provider, you have in effect overspent. So the sorry. Okay.
I mean, if these people cannot deal with the issues of the department collective and think that in front of us they will conduct it themselves, it's not going to work. So if the CFO is saying the manner in which we address issues of under expenditure or over expenditure, we do violence accordingly. And then you are saying, irrespective of that, it doesn't say there is no over expenditure. What are you telling us as a department? No, Chairperson, it has come clear here. This gentleman in front of me here is actually demonstrating exactly what is taking place in that department. Seemingly, there is disregard of leadership there. And there is no way that there can be any winner in this department. If you say you are going to present to submit your own presentation here, it doesn't work like that. You should work as a collective. And if you are not working as a collective, we don't have a department. You can't operate like this. And there is no way that we can allow a situation whereby the sender is undermined, deliberately. That we were not going to allow. And when we engage the minister, one of the submissions that I'm going to make is for the managers not to get their bonuses. If that is the case, we must not give them a budget for the next financial year. And it will be for the first time that it happens in any parliament in South Africa. And we will lead by example. There is no way that people are going to undermine themselves. Because if you undermine the SMGC, you are undermining yourself because you are a manager. You are part of that collective. No, Chairperson, we are wasting time here in the name of process.
Thank you very much. I think let me appeal as a question. We don't want to leave unanswered in terms of the movement and computer system, honorable members, in the annual report, because this annual report is expected to adopt. The audited financial statement under note number 5.2 indeed is a big jump, which we owe you an explanation. It's a big jump from 92 to 211. That's an explanation. You're the ones expected to adopt this report, and I think that's the explanation perhaps Honorable Wang wants to hear. The jump there is associated with for computer external service provider, the 166 is as a result of a backlog of invoices which were never paid in the previous financial year. That's why you notice in 2008 and 2009. No, they didn't give us valid invoice, and in fact, even for the last 6 months, I've
no,
actually.
You also did not give valid invoice.
Now, let me go to the issue of bad debts. The bad debts issue is the process followed, honorable members, is as follows. And in this case here, I would like to, I'm speaking to the issue of bad debts. I would like to refer to the relevant note in this case, which is note number 7 in the financial statement, on page 127 in the annual report. first of all, what they are and what was the process that was followed in writing of those particular abundance. Now, the major amount of when we come to the amount of 49.8 million, that amount comprised of two bids. Is a Majuba, you'll see there the name of a Majuba, I'm on page 127, and you'll see there the name of Impala. Now, Impala case is an amount that we paid on the behalf of the defaulting farmers or Impala Water User Association in Pongola. We paid it 2-3 years back when they defaulted on the loan with the Rand Merchant Bank. As a guarantor, we had to step in. The loan was called and we had to step in to pay the installment when the water user association failed to pay. That water user association, we had guaranteed that loan when the scheme was built. So as guarantors, we had to pay that. Now, when it was paid, this amount was put in a suspense account. I think you usually ask me about what do you do with the suspense account, Honorable Yen. That amount was put in a suspense account with the hope that when we get this money from the farmers when they pay, we would then offset it against the suspense account. It was kind of a receivable from the water user who was a member of that fund. Now, along the line, of course, the farmers have not paid us 3 years or more or down the line, and we decided, therefore, to write off that particular amount. What do we do in that case? We engaged with the water user association to find out whether, I mean, what the situation was like, because there are emerging farmers in that community on the Pongola, in the Pongola area, the sugarcane and the other farmers there, they just grow as kids. Now, after establishing that there was law in making this particular payment, we decided, therefore, to clear up that particular suspense account by writing off this amount as it is indicated here. The detail of the amount for the loan to Impala Water User Association, you will notice that the amount is returned under, on page 128, Honorable Susanna, on page under 7.2, you will see the amount of 27.8 million. It's very clear. Loans written off, and they were being written off as a result of us having paid a guarantee 3-4 years ago in favor of Rand Merchant Water after the Impala Water User Association members had failed to pay their part of obligation. So as part of that guarantee, a quantity liability, we had paid on that obligation. Now the 20 million of interest under Majuba District Municipality is a loan that was given in several years, I think in 1980s. To build an asset, a water treatment asset, and over the years, in 1980s, this is a loan that was given several years ago. Now, the Majuba district, let me summarize. Now, Majuba district, they are the ones now using that asset. That's what I'm trying to say. The Majuba district are the ones now using that asset. Now, that loan was given to build that particular asset. The loan was given to the local authority that was there then before the demarcation. Now, the loan has continued. When Amajuba after the demarcation, Amajuba has never taken ownership of that loan. This amount of 20 million is the interest accruing on the original loan. And of course, the interest cannot be more than the principal amount. So what has been written off here of 20 million is the interest on that particular loan. Have meetings been held? Because it's a process issue, Honorable Mateva. You wanted to know, what is the process? Did we just make a call and say, fine, you're not paying us the level? We had a series of meetings in the last 3 years where Majuba said, sorry, we can't know, we don't even have this document after the demarcation. We don't. We have inherited this thing from the other day. We don't have the documentation that will enable us to verify that indeed we owe you this 20 million. So the amount, therefore, being on our books, it couldn't continue being on our books, and that's how we ended up considering writing off the amount in 20 million in order to allow them to pay the principal debt from now on. Our record.
Your record. But yes. Amajuba say, I haven't owe you money because 2008, 2009.
Mm-hmm.
So
you are
there.
No, the loan has always been there. Except that the write-off is the one we have taken place in 2009 and 10. That's why you won't see it being written off in 2008, because by then we are still into the negotiation within the right itself, because we are still hopeful that they will actually will recover that money.
Okay, but
The interest, of course, in their budget, they have the interest.
Because
they earn on income, but according to them, of course, they were. That's why we are insisting that they pay us at least the principal debt first, instead of us continuing to accumulate the interest. Now, the other debts that are written off are staff debts, some of them a small amount, or they may be different, like the salary of a payment of 163, but all these things here, we involve the state attorney. It's not an official in the department who would then, and even the auditors, when they come, they would want to see that evidence that there was an attempt indeed to recover that money with the help of the state attorneys to recover those particular amounts. And when individuals have deceased, or some of them are no longer in existence, I mean, we can't trust them, and the amounts which are obviously within the prescription period of over 3 years, then they will then be considered for write-off. I think that's what I would say about the amount of 50 million, chair. Yeah, what led to this? Because I was on page 127, read in conjunction with the details on page 128 of the annual report. That is the breakdown of those particular amounts, their source and their cause is what I've been trying to explain when you were out. There was the issue of interest on loan given to Majumba, and the loan written off to following our payment to Impala Water User Station, for whom we had already paid our guarantee when they defaulted on the loan of Grand Merchant Bank. Now, there was a point of clarity also from Honorable Wang. The information, if you look at the slide you have referred to, I think you talked of some discrepancy between interest and the rental figures on the slide. If you read that slide, it shows you it's the information as of the quarter when we closed before we applied for the rollover. The figures that we need to rely on, because I wanted us to read, to understand that after that, the adjustment went through in order for us to adjust our interest and rental based on the lease that we are holding on the long-term lease. So the figures that I gave there, those were the raw figures when we closed the quarter, the first quarter on that particular day. Now, the important dates that I want the honorable members to take note of, the 31st, of course, the financial year ends. On the 30th of April, we should be applying for the rollover, and we should be closing our books in preparation for submission of financial statements on the 31st of May, which we did, by the way. And then the financial statements are only in the month of June and July. The final financial statement should then be signed on the 31st. Now, the figures you refer to, which you said that there is a discrepancy between what I presented and what the annual report.
Is he then saying that the office
for the audit to start, the financial statement must be with the AG on the 31st. The audit is then undertaken during the month of June and July, and the audit says, yes, you can vouch for that. I'm not speaking at the hundred bucks. During that particular period, there will obviously be adjustments. If you read the audit report, they say there were adjustments which were carried during the audit. But the financials for them to commence the final audit is based on the financial statement which are given to them on the 31st of May. Now, when they close the audit, which should be by the very latest 31st of July, everything has been considered. The adjustment arising from the audit or another adjustment given to them should have been done by the 31st of July. But the draft financial statement for audit purposes was submitted on the 31st of May. But did they have errors or did they require adjustment? The answer is yes, they were subjected to adjustment during the audit process.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. We did receive financial statements 31st of May. What we only received on the 31st or the 30th of July was the asset register, the final asset register. And as a result of qualification to say we've only received the final asset register the day before we had to sign the audit report. In our briefing to yourself, what we also mentioned is the quality of financial statements that we've received and the extensive number of corrections that had to be made to the financial statement for us to eventually express the opinion that we've expressed. Specifically when it came to the water trading entity, if the adjustment wasn't passed that was passed, it would have most probably have been a disclaimer and not a qualification. So yes, we did receive financials for the 1st of May, but the quality wasn't of a good quality. And the supporting documentation accompanying the financial statements we didn't receive. And that we should also receive for the 1st of May.
They did not receive supporting documents.
So she goes further and says that upfront they were supposed to have had the disclaimer, but they did the qualification. So what was that?
Even in their presentation to us, they did indicate about the supporting documents that were never there. Others did not make sense.
Internal audit person, thank you, Mr. Ayaya. Internal audit person, or Babu's question?
Chairperson, before that, Chairperson, even if we can say we were writing off the debt, but can you write off a debt of a salary overpayment? Is that correct? To give a person a public fund free of charge, that's it. I'm Moshito Mapana. I'm the Chief Director, Internal Audit. I'm going to be brief. Over the past financial years, if you can check the annual report of all the preceding financial years that you have indicated, Auditor General has always been indicating that internal audit function did not substantially fulfill its responsibility as set out in Treasury Regulation 3.2. The question was raised as to who is responsible for the evaluation or monitoring this monthly report and so forth. Indeed, it is internal audit who is supposed to be doing that. But it has already been highlighted, more especially on page 90 of the annual report, to say internal audit by then was not capacitated. Even myself, I joined the department during the year under review. Then we engaged in the process of recruiting personnel. So a lot of personnel within internal audit, about 85% of the personnel within internal audit, we actually managed to appoint them within in the fourth quarter of the financial year. We actually have people who have joined us like during the month the month March 2010. So as a result thereof, a lot of things that we were supposed to have done as internal audit, we couldn't do. However, the process that we follow at the beginning of this financial year, we're supposed to produce 3-year report. Our work is basically guided through the Treasury regulations that have been indicated 3.2 to say we need to be producing 3-year rolling plans, and these rolling plans should be risk-based, and we need to submit them to the audit committee for approval. Those are the issues that we were able to do. But however, coming to implementation, because we didn't have like warm bodies, then it was a challenge to can be able to go and evaluate those systems. Normally, what should happen? Internal audit does not substitute or replace management's responsibility for ensuring that in all their various units there are proper systems of internal control. That they need to be doing, but in any case, during the projects that we would have identified in our plan, we need them to go and evaluate the system. Let's say maybe within finance, for instance, supply chain management, we need to go and look at the processes there, the internal controls there, and then we need to report on our findings now to our management and the accounting officer in particular to say, we have conducted an audit, these are our findings. If they are not being addressed, they may put us in trouble in terms of qualifications and so forth. And management should then do some intervention. More or less the same way the Auditor General conducts his audit. That is how we are conducting the audit. Now our issue is that actually when the Office of the Auditor General raised these issues, the accounting officer with the DG called me and said, internal audit, Auditor General has raised a number of issues. Why is it that it is for the first time that I'm hearing all these issues from them? Why didn't I hear these issues from you? My response at that time was that I think in order for me to be able to highlight the issues, I need to actually go on the ground and conduct the audit on these various areas that they have indicated and be in a position to report. But unfortunately, by then, we didn't have warm bodies. I've indicated it is only this year that we are having people, we are starting to implement. That is my brief response. Mapanga.
Or provide a support. I see. So the audit coming. I see. Now, Bauma Panga, you agree with the report of the Auditor General because the audit committee agrees with the outcome of the annual report of the Auditor General. Now, what you need to do then is to assist the SNCC and make sure that all these findings are attended to. Otherwise, as you have said that you were avoiding to be in trouble, and of course you are already in trouble. Yeah. So I think what you need to do is just to support each other. But the problem is, as Honorable Mateva said, that if you are an individual, you'll never be able to win this battle. But if you are united and try to attend to all these challenges as the each and everyone is considering, I'm telling you, next year, this year, when you come here, you will be doing something different from what you do. And it's even worse because you said that National Auditor General was telling us that their doors are open. Okay? They've been even offered the department. If the department needs a monthly assistance, they can do that. So I think in order for you to perform better than now, you need to try to grasp that and get assistance from the Office of the Auditor General. So that next year by this time you don't sit here and deal with the same issues that you've been dealing with for the past 5 years. It's really tiring to deal with the same thing without any improvement. Trevor, you are now the COO. Let's see a difference. Let's see a difference in the department.
try to make us proud. Let water affairs make us proud. So that next year when we sit here, you come with something different from what we have here. It's not that when you are supposed to come to Parliament, you're always worried that these ugly people will be fighting with you. We are not fighting with you, but we want things to be done correctly. And then when you sit and among yourselves and each and everyone do what he or he is supposed to be doing, I don't think that we can sit here and fight with you every time. Unfortunately, outside there, the people are fighting with us. The people are fighting with us. If you have seen Mr. Morgan in the National General Council of the ANC in Durban, I was even afraid to get in the hall. I was seated outside. Because when they see my face, they see the failing Department of Water Affairs. I was even said to her, get in. And she said, no, Chair, I'm here anyway. So you understand where we come from. We really need to assist you, and we want to assist you. But if you are not willing, then it becomes a problem if you are not willing. I know that you are not stupid. All of you here, you are not stupid. You are very clever people. But use that cleverness of yours for the people on the ground to get something out of this department. This is the any other person who has said it. Oh, the license. Okay.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. The honorable minister, in response to the growing concerns around the backlog or the delays in the issuance of the water applications for water use, she put together a team called the ZEMA. I am the project manager there. But I need to indicate that we're dealing with a moving target. There's a positive and there's a negative. The negative is that we are dealing with a moving target. The positive is that we are trying very hard to make it. The application, when we started, the backlog was around 1,500 and something. It grew to about 3,000 and something. Right now, we are more than 4,000. Of the 4,000, we have finalized, we are close to 3,000. In number, in finalizing the backlog. There are various reasons for the moving target. I am not sure whether the committee wants me to elaborate on that, because that perhaps I didn't anticipate this, otherwise I would have brought a report.
So what you are saying is it's a report that we need to prepare and present to the committee. Is that what you're saying?
I can do that. The project is closely monitored by top management and the SNDG in person. We provide reports on a monthly basis. In fact, it's even shorter than a month. Every time they ask for a report, we do present the submit those reports. So submitting it to this committee would not be a problem. The project was meant for 12 months, but then because of the concerns, the minister said 6 months. But then again, as a result of the moving target, we couldn't meet the 6 months. But we are confident that by March 2011, we will be reporting that the backlog is quashed. We defined the backlog as the applications that were lodged in the department as of 31st December 2009. So any application that came this year is a new application, doesn't fall under the backlog. So we are trying our level best.
Okay, thanks, thanks. I'm sure we will invite you next time to just brief us about the progress made with regard to that, because I know that that's one area that you always get questions from interested parties. This is of interest. Honorable Huang.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think it's other member already live here. He's a phone call. You're asking, say, South Africa, how many dams? You're asking this question many times. You wonder if the department can answer the question, how many dams in the South Africa? But until now, nobody can answer it.
I think Dr. Nasser is very fine. Mr. Mamoni can answer the question.
Oh,
yes.
Okay.
afternoon, Chairperson and honorable members. Well, we have the department has done a comprehensive asset register, but that was on the dams owned by the department, which have identified more than 350 dams, large dams that are owned by the department. Our asset register, there are also other dams that are still within provinces, which are owned by agricultural departments, so which are not necessarily departmental dams. But we do have a comprehensive list of them, which is part of our asset register. So we're having, you know, on our list, I'm taking here, I don't have the list in front of me, but having more than 350 dams of the department.
Thank you very much.
And the follow-up from Honorable Wang and then Honorable Yenge after you.
I think I just surprised what the answer to this question, because this question not from me, it's from other colleagues, but I also interested, because you say at the moment South Africa have the 553 dams is controlled by the Water Affairs, then other dams under control, so we don't control all the water. This is your means. So I can say to you, is South Africa totally we have the 586 dams. You must understand totally. I ask you this question.
In terms of the ownership, other municipalities, there are other dams that are owned by municipalities. They're not necessarily owned by the Department of Water Affairs. But as a department, when we do our water reconciliation, we do consider all the dams in the country, but our asset register will only reflect dams that are coming with us, that are owned by the department, by government, by the department, not necessarily are owned by other entities, which will include municipalities and some private entities as well.
Well, it's fine. I think we'll have to do the same with you, because as much as other people own those dams, the water in those dams belongs to you. So I think what we need to do, we need to get a proper number of dams total, and then say that 350 belongs to Water Affairs, so much to agriculture, so much to forestry, so much to so and so. Because at the end of the day, the water that is in that dam is a national asset. You see? Yeah. So I thank you. I thank you very much, Honorable Luye. Yeah? You'll be the last one.
Yes, I'm not disputing the fact that there must be backlog in terms of the water usage that has been. But I think I was precise to say over time, Mtata, and also referred to the working for water projects. And I would appreciate the situation whereby that has been. The generalization that has been made here in response to this issue of water usage licenses. If we get the data of your request, of your application, and now I wish that we don't find a situation whereby, now that you say an application that you received this year is new, there is no application that you have received now and you have already concluded on that one. You don't understand. I'm saying you are saying you have a backlog, so you regard all the applications for water usage licenses you received this year are new because of the backlog that you have. So I am putting it to you to say that it must be as such. There mustn't be a situation whereby you have received a license this year and you have concluded on that particular one, because there is a hypothetical view from the municipalities that you are prioritizing certain municipalities in this country. That's what I want to put it to you. To say the rural ones, you know, we are transcribed and we remain as that, are not prioritized, and that's where the problem is. And it's unfortunate, Mr. President, even when the minister is visiting that area, he does that alone. We are not there, and we don't know what is he saying to those people. So, question the IDR is coming to the end of the
department. That one don't even go there. It's doing my problem 2 times or 3 times in my area, in my constituency. I've never told you anyway, so don't talk about that one. Only your oversight here, the member of parliament. Forget about the minister. Thank you very much, member of parliament. Thanks to thank you.